Fayetteville Woodpeckers baseball is live from the sand hills of North Carolina to the coastal plains and from state line to state line. This is the Fayetteville Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Woodpeckers pregame show. Getting you set for first pitch. Let's send you out to the stadium.
Woodpeckers have returned to downtown Fayetteville and get ready to close down the month of June in the early stages of the second half. First place dream still alive as we get ready for game one of six between the Woodpeckers and the Cannonballers. Fresh off a couple of days of rest, it's time to roll in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina, live on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Hello, everybody. I'm Andrew Chapman. We'll be joined by Colin Casey for First Pitch tonight, and we are live on FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com and the MILB First Pitch app, along with our HD video broadcast on Bally Live and MILB.TV. Glad to have you with us tonight. We will keep things abbreviated here on the front end of the show, but the Woodpeckers getting ready to host the Cannonballers in game one of six off a couple of off days. This six-game series will carry on through next Monday, and the Woodpeckers at 1-2 in the second half trying to keep towards the top in the division with everybody's playoff hopes alive. We're getting ready to talk to manager Ricky Rivera here on the pregame show, so we'll step aside for a quick break. And when we come back, Ricky Rivera on playoff dreams, on the recent promotions of Nolan DeVos and Nick Swanson, on Tyler Whitaker's rehab assignment, a little College World Series, and much, much more as our very own Colin Casey sat down with the Woodpeckers skipper prior to first pitch tonight. Coming up at 7:05 between the Astros and the White Sox affiliate. Just about 10 minutes from now on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, we've got baseball upcoming for you. Stay tuned from downtown Fayetteville. Back in a moment with the Woodpeckers skipper, Ricky Rivera. The Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
Welcome back to the Fayetteville Woodpeckers pregame show. I'm Colin Casey, joined ahead of another series, along with manager Ricky Rivera. Ricky, great to have you back in town after a six-game road trip to Charleston, South Carolina, and also a rare 2 days off in between. Did you kind of just take it easy on those 2 days, or how'd you spend your rare couple of days off?
Yeah, man, good to get back home, you know, enjoy those off days home instead of having to be on the road in a hotel stuck, you know. Nothing like sleeping in your own bed for me and for our own guys, you know, getting that rest and hopefully a final push before the All-Star break that we can reset for 3 or 4 days and get right back to work. But nothing, man, just preparing for the week and, you know, making sure that the guys that had to come in and get their rehab stuff done and get ready to play because we got 12 in a row.
Yeah, it's going to be the busiest time of the year with 12 straight games, six here in Fayetteville against the Kannapolis Cannonballers, and another six on the road immediately after that, starting with the 4th of July game against the Carolina Mudcats up in Zebulon. But back to last week real quick, it's also marked the start of the second half of the year with the second three games of that series against the Charleston River Dogs counting towards second half. You end up going 1-2 in those games, but probably more importantly, after those three games, you find out that a couple of your big arms end up getting promoted in Nolan DeVos and Nick Swanson. Ricky, starting with Nolan, we've seen him now pitch for a little over a year cumulatively after the time he spent following him being drafted in the 5th round last year by Houston. What can you say about his development and the strides he's made in that 12-month span?
DeVos is awesome, man. Captain Project, as we call him here in the clubhouse, was just a guy that just, you know, he knew how to take care of his business. You know, he came to work. I know he was dealing with some injury stuff after that play at the plate against Kannapolis, I believe, middle of May. He had been trying to bounce back from that, a little groin. Nothing serious, but it kind of just kept lingering. And I know those final two starts, he felt like himself again, and we saw what he could do. He was dominant per usual. Excited to see the guy move forward. And then Nick Swanson's a nice story, you know, a guy that's repeating this level could have easily been upset or, you know, had an attitude about it or feel like felt entitled to leaving or being at another level or whatever the case was. But the kid showed up to work every day, didn't complain about being here, you know, took every day, took pride in his development, took pride in being a good teammate. And obviously performances were outstanding throughout the year, so he was more than deserving for that call-up. So always sad to see those guys leave, but really, really cool to send guys up. I was just putting them on my door as I put every guy that gets called up, and I hope that door is full with cards by the end of the year.
Yeah, the first thing I noticed when I walked down here is I saw those two guys out of the board, and sure enough, that door is really filling up with baseball cards. Back to Swanee for a second. He closed out the series with that 6-3 victory on Sunday, and he ended up going 4-2 scoreless, struck out 7 River Dogs batters, but you took him out with one out left in the ball game in favor of Ian Faugho. What was that conversation like, kind of taking him out of the mound? Did you know at that point that he was going to get the call up to Asheville?
So that's funny you bring it up, because I actually told him he was getting called up on the mound. So it was a really cool moment for him. It was actually a pitch count thing. Like, he was going. Like, he had two outs, and we let him face that third one. But I also didn't want him to throw 100 pitches this last outing here or whatever it was. But it was pretty cool, because I told everybody in the dugout, hey, guys, I'm about to tell Swanson he's getting called up. And they were like, what? And I was like, yes, I'm going to take him out of this game and tell him he's getting called up to Asheville. So the guys were extremely excited for him, waiting for him in the dugout. And then when I told the guys on the mound, they all kind of gave him a hug. And, you know, it was my best pitching move of the year, I would say.
Yeah, I'm sure he certainly appreciated getting that news coming off the dugout. I'm sure it was a real emotional moment for him. But turning the page now to this week against Kannapolis, and specifically tonight's ball game, it's a big opportunity for Manuel Urias, who gets the mound to start the ball game. It'll be the first start he makes in a Fayetteville Woodpeckers uniform. Obviously, he spent time in the Phillies system and was used as a starting pitcher then. What can you tell us about some of the expectations that you have for him now, instead of coming out of the bullpen, getting an opportunity as a starting pitcher tonight?
Well, we just talked about this as a team in the pre-game meeting or pre-practice meeting this today, how excited I am because of the development. You know, as you all saw, he's a Rule 5 guy. You know, he's a guy that stayed in the FCL, you know, got the call up here to start the year, had a couple good outings, then had the blow up in Carolina, you know, where he loses a 3-run lead. He could have easily not cashed it in, because that's not the type of guys we have in our org, but he could have easily been upset about it, and it could have carried over and leaked over. But he moved on fast. He closed the game that week. He went 2 or 3 innings. He proved that he could be a starter, you know, and it's been really, really exciting for me to just see him out there for the first couple of innings, because, you know, at least you know that he's going to compete, you know, and that's the only thing I can ask for him once he steps on the mound, you know. Guy that takes care of his work, does his work with Wilkins, and his prep work. So, like, I can't ask him for more than just go out there and compete, and that's something he does every outing.
Yeah, another guy coming off a great outing as well in Charleston with the 3 scoreless innings he pitched to close out that game earlier last week. Another guy, we actually talked about him the last time I was down here for the pregame show, but Luis Encarnacion, and you said specifically that Enka just hits, man, and he's continued to really hit in the month of June, hitting .333, highest average on the team, had hits in 5 of 6 games last week against Charleston. You've coached him a long time now, going back to last year. What can you say about him continuing to take steps after step and get better and better by the day?
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Enka just hits.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid just hits. He finds way. He competes with 2 strikes. He hits the ball hard early in the count. You know, he obviously, at the beginning of the year, he was only seeing results against lefties, it felt like. He couldn't carry over against righties. But that it's an adjustment period. You know, at the end of the day, the kid's, what, 20, 19 years old? You know, I think he just turned 20, like, recently. Just first year in affiliate baseball, you know. Getting his feet wet, trying to figure out how to play in front of fans. That's an adjustment period for all these kids, not just Enka. But if something we've seen throughout his career is the kid hits. You know, the kid finds a way to barrel the baseball and put competitive at-bats, which he wasn't doing earlier in the season for us. But now he's finally came along. You know, do I expect him to stay this hot? Probably not. You know, that's a bit unrealistic. But do I expect him to hit the rest of the year? Absolutely. You know, I also expect a lot of our guys to hit. But with him, we've seen it. You know, we have the sample size big enough at whether it was the FCL or DSL levels where he's hit and has success. And I don't think it's luck with him. I don't think it's luck. Like, the kid hits, he puts the work in.
After I talked with him at the end of last week's series, after he had that 4-hit game on Sunday against the Columbia Fireflies, seemed like he's a big favorite also in the dugout. Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Yeah, he's a fan favorite. He's a favorite in the dugout. I mean, he plays hard. He's kind of got that old school vibe to him. He cares a lot about every guy. He goes out of his way to try to learn English. Doesn't shut up ever. Brings the energy every day. That's just Anka, man. Anka's gonna Anka.
I like that. Last thing, circling back to the pitching, actually, with the promotions of both Nolan and Nick, it's two big losses in your rotation, but you still come into this series leading the league in strikeouts, and with what Zach Wilkins and that pitching staff has done this year has been really impressive. Do you expect there to be really much of a lull in as far as the pitching performance, or do you see it to just be kind of, you know, another day at the office for a lot of these guys? Because it seems like every single guy that stepped in this year has stepped up and shown a lot of life on the mound. What are some of the things you look forward to now with those two guys gone and who you expect to really kind of step forward and really take the bull by the horns now in the second half?
Well, I expect all of them to, you know, I always preach to my guys, you don't need to step up, you just need to do your job. You know, you don't need to replace anybody. If you do your job, that's enough, you know, especially with the talent we have here. Obviously, the organization's done an outstanding job of drafting guys in international signings on the mound. I mean, our staff is as good as I've seen around the league and other leagues as well. You know, we obviously lose those two guys, but we saw last week we got an Andrew Taylor that's healthy now, you know, and looks better than when he left us in the last minutes, you know. Hopefully we can get us back from that injury. Progress is going well for him, so I'm excited to see if he comes back, you know, and when he comes back. Obviously, Urias steps into a starter role now, gives us a little bit of help. Fleury doesn't have to just throw two innings like he did last week because there's two other guys in the piggyback or whatever it is, you know. We can extend him a little bit, a guy that's been very solid for us. So we have the bodies to do it. I mean, obviously, nobody wants to lose those guys, but this is what this level's for, and I couldn't be more excited for those guys to move up, and I couldn't be more excited for the opportunity this presents for guys like Chirinos and Santa and guys that we can extend, you know, and really prove the value they have, not just for us as a team, but for the organization.
Yeah, and I guess circling back one last time to the 2 days you spent off, of course, the College World Series was on. Were you pulling for LSU or Florida? Did you have any rooting interest? Did you watch the games at all? And were you watching the games at all, or was it just following along on your phone, or what was going on?
No, I watched the games. I mean, obviously, that's high-level baseball, man. Those teams were playing. That was really cool to see. I mean, that's a lot of top five rounders in those two teams combined. I think the first three picks are projected to come out of there, or first three out of four, whatever the situation ends up being. But just really cool to see, you know, high-level baseball. I mean, those guys play hard. Those guys are playing, you know, to win every pitch, the crowd, the atmosphere. You know, there's nothing like the College Baseball World Series, you know. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to watch. And obviously, everybody wants to watch Skeens and Cruz and those guys, you know, see what they do on a daily basis. And they're pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, with those two guys, at least the teams in front of them, are you happy to see that there's a strong likelihood that they won't be ending up in the Carolina League and having to face off against them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't. I mean, you want whatever's best for the kid. I don't really pay too much attention where they land. I do believe in our development system over anything, and whoever lands with us, I'm going to be excited that that person will be in the Carolina League with us, or even if they move up to Asheville off the bat. You know, like I do trust, and there's plenty of past draft guys' experience and information that shows you how good we've drafted and our scouting system's been. So, like, we might get another Gilbert and get another Steele in that 30th pick or whatever pick we're picking. So,
at those times coming shortly with the draft less than 2 weeks away. Ricky Rivera, great to always talk with you, and should be another great series at home as the Woodpeckers take on the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Best of luck this week.
Appreciate it, man. Go Packers.
Let's go down to the diamond. Woodpeckers baseball starts now.
Journey throws it deep left field. This ball's right back there. Tie game. Three-run home run. Line drive out to left field. Long run. It gets down. It hops off the wall. Rounding third. That ball's in the bullpen. This game is over.
This will clear the bases. Whitaker going into third. He has driven home all three.
Line drive out into right field. Mantueta looking up. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. A two-run walk-off home run.
And that pitch is called strike three. They have done it, the second combined no-hitter in Woodpeckers franchise history.
Woodpeckers baseball is live wherever you are. Tonight, the Woodpeckers are back in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina for their first home games of the second half of the schedule, hosting the Kannapolis Cannonballers, the single-A affiliate of the Chicago White Sox in town. Game one of six off a couple of off days begins here on a Wednesday evening. Hi again, everybody. Welcome inside the Woodpeckers broadcast booth. Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey. A special thanks again to Ricky Rivera and Colin sitting down pregame today, chatting everything around this ball club. Colin, which always has some sort of news going on, and as of recent, it's been those starting pitching promotions. Congratulations to Nolan DeVos and Nick Swanson, who had plenty of success over a full year, even a year and a half if you're Nick Swanson, who go up to Asheville. And now we get to see new guys like Manuel Urias take over into the starting rotation. His first start tonight in his Woodpeckers career. He gets ready to face Mario Camilletti, Chris Lanzilli, and Bryce Willits to get it going in this top of the first. Looking forward to seeing what Manuel can bring in the starter role tonight.
Yeah, we know he's a high strikeout guy and a low walk guy. Historically, across his career, does not walk a lot of batters. I think that's the goal right now, is get as deep as you can in the ball game, whatever his limit might be, and just make sure you don't give Kannapolis extra base runners.
So here we go. Manuel Urias, the big 6'4" right-hander, delivers and misses outside for ball one. We are underway on a Wednesday night in Fayetteville. 7:10 start time. It's bit of a warm one, and it's going to get warmer and warmer as the week goes on. Game time temperature tonight, 85 degrees and clear blue skies above our head. Little to no breeze, though, so it is going to be a cooker down there on the field. The flags are pretty still on left center. Reyes delivers a strike to left-handed batter Mario Camilletti, the Kannapolis second baseman. He winds, kicks, and pitches. And the 1-1 misses up high. It is 2-1. So Chris Lanzilli, the DH on deck, and then Bryce Willits, third baseman in the hole. Colby Smelly will back clean up and catch. Ryan McCarthy is the center fielder batting fifth, and Jonaker Betancourt is sixth. Here's the 2-1, and Camilletti looks at it high again. Three balls and one strike on one of the guys that draws more walks than anybody in the Carolina League, Mario Camilletti. Joanna Biel-Lariano is 7. Drake Logan is the 8 hitter. And Wilbur Sanchez rounds it out for the Cannonballers, who are managed by Patrick Leland in his first season as the Kannapolis skipper. 3-1, Camilletti ahead. Here comes the pitch. And it is a strike on the outside corner as Urias goes to the fastball and fills it up 3-2. The Cannonballers are 37-31 overall. They finished in third place in the South Division in the first half. They're 2-1 over their first three games of the second half. Payoff pitch misses up and outside. Fastball off target, and Mario Camilletti draws a leadoff walk to begin the game. Camilletti with a league-high 51 walks, make it 52 now as he struts down to first base. That's led to an on-base percentage for him that's up over 440 now, 439 coming into today's game, highest OBP in the entire Carolina League. There's value in just taking pitches, and Camilletti has found a way to do so at the top of the Cannonballers' order for most of the year. Chris Lanzilli, the DH, is stepping in, down from Winston-Salem, the high-A affiliate of Chicago. Since his arrival to the Cannonballers, he's batting 238, no home runs and two RBIs. A bluff down at first, a breaking ball is lifted foul behind home. And the count is 0-2 on Lanzilli.
He played in the alma mater, backyard of his alma mater, that is, Wake Forest Demon Deacon. Had a chance to play right down the road from where he played his college ball on a Wake Forest team that made quite the run this year to Omaha.
Have to imagine. He was watching a little College World Series as his alma mater went all the way to the semifinal. Here's the 0-2, and Lanzilli strikes out on a Manuel Urias changeup. First out for Urias with a man on first base. Bryce Willits is coming up to the plate. As we go through that Kannapolis lineup, Colin, the promotions are noticeable. No Tim Elko for the Kannapolis Cannonballers, one of the top players in the entire league offensively over the first half. He's been promoted to Winston-Salem. Jacob Burke, another one of their guys who played like an all-star for the first half of the year. He has been promoted. So this is a new look Cannonballers lineup.
As Bryce Willits, the left-hander, digs in. Camaletti moving to second. Pitches outside. The throw down to second. In plenty of time. And Jackson Lofton, the shortstop, drops the tag. Camaletti is hosed down by Sandro Gastone. Two away.
There's never been a question about Sandro's arm strength. The question's always been the accuracy and being able to measure the distance from home to second. It's gotten better and better as the season has gone on. That was a perfect strike down to Lofton.
Willits ready for the 0-1, and he swings, rolls it up along the first baseline, gets fouled just before the bag. And it's an 0-2 count. Quickly, let's look around the Woodpeckers' defense, Colin.
Garrett McGowan picking that one up in foul territory over at first. Leo's Danny Molina, the second baseman. Jackson Lofton, the shortstop. Dar Lorenzo over at the hot corner. Left to right in the outfield. John Garcia, Zach Cole, and Frank Perez. And as previously mentioned, Gastone does the catching for Urias.
So 0-2 the count now as Urias tries to face the minimum thanks to a little help from his catcher, Gastone. Here's his wind and 0-2 pitch to Willits. Strikes him out on a foul tip. Gastone hung on to it behind the plate. And after a caught stealing and a couple of strikeouts, Manuel Urias puts up a zero in his first inning as a Woodpeckers starting pitcher in 2023. Woodpeckers coming to bat for the first time when we return. Cole Lofton and Encarnacion lead it off when we come back. This is the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network, live from downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. H&H Homes, one of the largest home builders in North and South Carolina, based out of Fayetteville and a proud partner of the Woodpeckers, with over 30 neighborhoods to choose from, ranging from the 160s to the mid-300s. Discover why over 7,000 families have decided to call an H&H home home since 1992. Don't wait to learn more. Visit them online at hhhomes.com or follow them on Facebook and Instagram. H&H Homes, building homes with more livability, more sustainability, and more value.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that'll bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your visit today at baseballhall.org.
For the early to rise road trippers, the late night truck drivers, or even the bucket list checking baseball fans, your Wyndham is waiting, no matter who you are, where you're going, or why. With 24 trusted brands to choose from, like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, there's a hotel by Wyndham for everyone. Wyndham Hotels & Resorts, the official hotel of minor league baseball. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details. I can buy myself flowers.
Write my name in the sand. Talk to myself for hours.
Just underway from downtown Fayetteville, and the left-handed batter Zach Cole leads it off against the left-handed starter Shane Murphy. Southpaw's first pitch of the night misses up high, and it's 1-0 on Cole. Jackson Lofton, Luis Encarnacion, the top three of the order for Fayetteville. Dar Lorenzo, John Garcia, Leo Stani Molina, the 4-6, and the bottom three are seven hitter Garrett McGowan, the 8-bat Sandro Gastone, and Frank Perez rounding it out. Two ball, no strike count on Zach Cole. Cole out in center today for the Woodpeckers, 261 hitter with a team high 10 home runs and team high 43 RBIs. Breaking ball was up and in, and rather it's a two ball, one strike count. That second pitch was in the zone. Infield swung around slightly to the right, and the pitch to Cole, a hanging breaking ball that's hit foul into the screen. Looked like Cole thought he might have been able to hit that one a long way. That was one he just missed, got underneath it. Two balls and two strikes. Shane Murphy coming in 2-3 with a 2.84 ERA. 6'5" left-hander pitches and missed low. Three balls and two strikes to Zach Cole. Woodpeckers 1-2 in the second half of play. They come in tonight 31-38 overall in the regular season. Today is game number 70 already of the regular season. Number four of the second half. 3-2 pitch taken for strike three right on the outside corner. Cole rung up and looked like with his reactions as he kind of bent over at the waist, he knew he missed a good one. And Jackson Lofton coming up. Let's go ahead and look around the Kannapolis defense behind Shane Murphy in this one.
Joanna Beal, Laureano out in left field for the Cannonballers. Ryan McCarthy, the center fielder. Drake Logan in right. Bryce Willits, the third baseman. Wilbur Sanchez at short. Mario Camiletti at second. Jonaker Betancourt, the first baseman.
Line drive out into left, and that plops down in front of Laureano. Lofton didn't put a great swing on it. He just stretched over top of the plate, went to the exterior of the strike zone, and was able to get a barrel around it and flick a single out there, coming off a multi-hit day on Sunday, and he has a base hit in his first AB of the homestand.
You know the danger he possesses when he's on at first base. He comes into this game tied for fourth all-time in single-season stolen bases in Woodpeckers history. He has 25 on the year.
And he's hardly been caught, what, once or twice, I think, all season. He was a perfect 21 for 21 to begin the year. Encarnacion swinging through the first pitch, really crowding the plate today. He swings and pops this up over the first base side dugout and out of play. More so than usual, you can see his toes are right up along the chalk line of the batter's box, parallel to home plate. Seems like he's on top of that plate a little more than usual, and he's all the way back in the box as well. Here's the pitch from Murphy, and he swings, lines it left side, foul. Screaming line drive by the third baseman Willits, and loud contact, but strike two to Luis Encarnacion. Shane Murphy making his 12th appearance and 12th start of the season tonight. Other numbers for the left-hander comes in with a 2-3 record, 2.84 ERA, 50 and two-thirds innings to go along with 13 walks and 58 strikeouts. Big gap on the right side. Camiletti all the way towards the middle from second. And Encarnacion fouls away an inside breaking ball. Stays 0-2 on him. 261 now the average for Encarnacion. He has been the Woodpeckers' top hitter in the month of June. Four homers and 19 driven in.
He's closing in on Narbe Cruz for the top spot in the entire lineup on the year in batting average.
Swings and fouls a pitch off the inside of his left ankle. That's going to hurt. Encarnacion doesn't wear a guard, anything on the feet, the ankles, or the elbows. And, wow, he's set aside the bat. His helmet's come off, and now he can hardly put weight on his left foot. He's hunched over at the waist with his hands on his knees and just trying to feel this one out. The Woodpeckers are seeing this all too often right now with some of their bats. Ricardo Belo out of the lineup today. Not on the injured list, and it was a good sign to see him taking batting practice before the game, but he was struck in the foot by a pitch in Charleston. Was in a walking boot for a couple of days, and Woodpeckers may be without him for a good chunk of this homestand. We'll see how that plays out. Unfortunately, Encarnacion, one of their hottest hitters in the moment, able to step back in there, but still doing so with a little bit of a limp. Here's the 0-2, and pitch is fouled straight backwards.
Really, both these teams have been snake-bitten with injuries over the last couple of weeks. Of course, Narbe Cruz also not in the lineup for Fayetteville. And you look at Kannapolis' injured list right now, you see Brooks Baldwin, Troy Klontsch, Luis Pineda. That's two catchers out there. Jordan Sprinkle as well, who was their leadoff hitter for quite some time.
One out, man at first, and Lofton's going. A inside breaking ball popped up and out of play. And it's going to remain 0-2 on Encarnacion. That swing right there, though, just I think tells you what's going right for Enka. He's seeing the ball really well, and he's just getting lumber on baseballs at the moment. That pitch was down and inside towards his bum ankle again, and he somehow just fished it out. He kind of one hand coming off of the bat, an awkward-looking swing, but he just spoiled it off to see another. Here's the 0-2 again, and Encarnacion wraps it foul off the facing of the Cannonballers' dugout. So what a battle. Every single pitch has been a strike for Shane Murphy, and he is getting ready to throw a ninth to Luis Encarnacion in an 0-2 battle.
And it is important for them to get his pitch count up, because Shane Murphy has been excellent versus Fayetteville this year. 10 innings pitched, just 2 earned runs allowed.
He's coming off an outing on June 21st where he gave up 4 runs, 3 earned over 3 and 2-thirds innings at home against Myrtle Beach. Lofton breaking again. Pitch is swung on and it bounces away from Smelly to the backstop. Encarnacion limping his way up the first baseline. He gets there and Jackson Lofton keeps on running all the way around to third. Now, Encarnacion will not be safe. Even though Lofton broke to second base, you still have to consider first occupied with one out. So for a moment there, you thought Encarnacion was going to have a free path to first base after Lofton broke, but still effectively works. He loses. He chooses to run at the right time, gets down to third base, and with two outs, Dari Lorenzo is coming up. Switch hitter from the right side, swings a little early on a slider, and it is nothing and one.
Still counts as number 26, though, as he was in motion before the pitch.
He'll get a stolen base of second, and then a wild pitch advance over to third. Line drive softly over the leap of Betancourt, out into shallow right. Jackson Lofton strolls home, and Dari Lorenzo in the cleanup spot drives home the first Woodpeckers run of the homestand. 1-0 in the first inning.
Chaffee, he's got to be one of the best guys in this lineup as far as just putting the bat on the ball, especially in a two-out situation. You need a guy to put the ball in play and try to score a runner from third. Dari Lorenzo, as of late, has been that guy. He's just been able to find his pitch and drive it the other way if he's had to. Perfectly laced single in the right field.
John Garcia rips the first one and spoils it foul. Yeah, I would not call Dari Lorenzo a conventional cleanup man at all. And again, he's being thrown into that role because of Below's absence right now. But you keep a switch hitter in the cleanup spot. And Dari Lorenzo, you got a man on third or second base. He sprays a lot of line drives into the outfield. He's not going to blow you away with his power. Just the one home run on the year. That gets the job done.
But it did come against these cannonballers at Atrium Health Ballpark in the last series.
That's right. He pulled it out to right field. Garcia is in a 1-1 count as Shane Murphy pitches and misses inside. Two balls, one strike on Garcia. Cannonballers are in the blues today for our radio audience. That blue ball cap with the red bill, cannonballer on the front. Blue uniform with ballers and white cursive across the chest, a red numeral on the back, and a gray pant with a red pinstripe down the side of the leg. Here's the 2-1, and Garcia tied up on a slider. Stumbled over the plate as well as he swung out of his shoes a bit. It's 2-2. The Woodpeckers are in the classic home whites, white uni, Woodpeckers in white, bordered in black across the chest, a black numeral on the front, black numeral on the back, and a black nameplate as well. Black belt, white pant, and a black pinstripe down the side of the leg. Garcia spoils off a high slider, and it stays where it is, 2-2. What's the Woodpeckers' overall record in the home white this year? 3-9. See if they can grab their fourth win in the whites today. Best record is in the alternate red, 17-9. They favor those jerseys more than any of them. Pitch down to the dirt, and that gets through Smelly. Ricochets back to him off of the screen, but plenty of time for Dari Lorenzo to hustle down to second base and get into scoring position with two outs. 3-2 count now on Garcia as well.
He's talking to the Woodpeckers clubhouse manager, Mike Montesino, and saying maybe we should just go away with those white uniforms. I think those reds are certainly special, and the numbers seem to pack it up.
Or you wear the retros more. They've only worn the retros four times at home. Fastball missed high, and John Garcia from a two-strike count ends up drawing a walk to extend this first inning. First walk issued by Murphy puts runners at first and second. Two away, one run home. It's 1-0 Woodpeckers on the Dari Lorenzo soft single to right. And now Leo Stanley Molina, sixth batter of the inning, gets a chance to hit. And we already have a meeting on the mound. The Kannapolis pitching coach, Blake Hickman, is making an early visit out there to talk to his lefty.
Yeah, really uncharted territory for Murphy this year against Fayetteville. Look back to a couple of his outings he's had. He had the one at Segra back on May 10th. Five innings, no hits given up, and three strikeouts, picked up the victory. And then more recently, back on the 31st of May, he still had another strong performance despite the no decision. Five innings, six strikeouts, just the one run allowed.
Well, he was one of the best pitchers in the entire Carolina League during May. He was 2-1 with a 1.57 ERA across five starts. Different story in June, where his ERA is up to 5.68. First pitch to Molina and a sky-high pop-up up along the shallow right field line. Mario Camilletti drifting over and with his feet on the cut of the outfield grass makes the catch, and the inning is over. Woodpeckers strand two but score one on a Dari Lorenzo single. It brings home Jackson Lofton and Fanville the 1-0 lead after one on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. The Fairfield Inn & Suites by Marriott Fayetteville North is a proud partner of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Visiting Fayetteville? Stay with a winning team. Located off Highway 401, they're right near the airport. and just a 15-minute drive from Fort Bragg and Cross Creek Mall. Enjoy the amenities of a first-class stay with clean and sanitized rooms, free self-parking, a 24-hour business center, and complimentary full breakfast. Planning an event? The hotel even features 757 square feet of event facilities. Call them today and book your stay at 910-223-7867.
There's a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Baseball Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience filled with family-friendly activities and priceless moments. Make your plans today for July 21st through the 24th for the induction of Fred McGriff and Scott Rolen as the class of 2023. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
Interested in keeping up with all things Woodpeckers? Follow the Fayetteville Woodpeckers on social media for team news, highlights, ticket information, promotions, and more. The Woodpeckers can be found on Facebook by searching Fayetteville Woodpeckers, as well as on Twitter at WoodpeckersNC and Instagram at Fayetteville Woodpeckers. You can also follow the team's all-new TikTok page at Fay Woodpeckers. For more information on how to access your favorite Carolina League team on social media, visit MILB.com/Fayetteville.
The world is a vampire. Sent to Jane. Secret destroyers. Hold you up to
top second inning in Fayetteville, and the Woodpeckers hold an early 1-0 lead on a Dari Lorenzo RBI single. Colby Smelly, the Kannapolis catcher, steps into the right side facing Urias. The first pitch was a ball, and here's his 1-0. He swings and pops it up right side and out of play. That'll tail into the seats. Smelly batting a 285 since he came down from High A Winston-Salem. No homers and four RBIs, 15 hits on the year in the Carolina League to go along with five walks and an on-base percentage, a good number, 455. And he swings and fouls it backwards. It is 1-2. Smelly, Ryan McCarthy, and then Jonaker Betancourt, the 4, 5, and 6, will bat in the inning here. In the first, Urias faced the minimum. He struck out two in a row. And then he also got some help from his catcher. Mario Camaletti was caught stealing second to result in a 1-2-3 inning. Urias rocks and throws the 1-2. And it's popped right side again onto the roof of Segra Stadium. Couple of off days. We took a Tuesday off day to this series, and that's so we can play a Monday, July 3rd game, have a big crowd in town for the national holiday and a big fireworks show. Every team in the league had the Tuesday off day yesterday, a new series beginning tonight. The 1-2 pitch is a little low, framed by Gastone, and it's 2-2. Colby Smelly, originally from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and a 13th round draft pick by the White Sox in 2021. He strikes out on an Urias slider. Peeling down and outside, got Smelly to chase a bit. And Urias has struck out three straight. He's settling in just fine as a starter after 13 relief appearances to begin the season.
Some pretty incredible late movement on that slider as well. Looked like it dropped a couple of inches right as it crossed over the plate. And that's just simply not enough time as a hitter to adjust. Excellent pitch.
And now the left-handed batter is Ryan McCarthy. First pitch his way, breaking ball that bottoms out, missed low. And it's one ball and no strikes on McCarthy. 400 hitter even with just two base hits. A recent addition to the Cannonballers lineup. And he swings and lifts this out into straightaway center. Zach Cole drifting over to his right, gets into the left center field alleyway and camps underneath, makes a one-handed grab. There are two gone in the second. And Manuel Urias making pretty quick work of the top five hitters of the Ballers order. Jonaker Betancourt comes up with nobody on base, two gone, and the Woodpeckers leading 1-0.
That ERA he had come in today of 4.15, not really indicative of how effective he's been as reliever. A lot of that skewed by that rough outing he had in Zebulon where he saw a three-run lead slip away in the final inning in that series-opening loss that Fayetteville had against the Carolina Mudcats.
Yep. Ricky Rivera really praised his ability just to flush what was a tough go for him and get right back out there, record a save later on. Here's a high fly pulled out to left, but it'll hook foul onto the concourse. And just a long strike for Betancourt, 1-1. But pitching is mental, especially when you have a rough outing like that. And when a manager shows a little faith in you to put you right back out there in another high-leverage situation a few days later, I think that does a lot for a pitcher's confidence. That's where a manager can really have an effect on a guy in the dugout, in the clubhouse, that shows out on the field. Inside strike called, and it is 1-2 on Betancourt. Here's the delivery. And he checks his swing. That made contact with the barrel. Just grazed it on the way by, and it's 1-2 still on Betancourt. Jonaker Betancourt, spelled J-H-O-N-E-I-K-E-R. Urias with a long pause as he gets into the motion. His 1-2 hit on a line towards the middle and right by the glove of Leo Molina and out into center field. Leo Molina was stationed perfectly. He's left looking at the webbing of his mitt. He pulled the glove out of the way at the last moment. I think he tried to finesse it a bit. And it just got right on through him into center field. We'll see how they score it. I think because he probably have to go air there because he hardly had to move. He was perfectly positioned. Well struck ball by Betancourt, but an error does flash on the board. E4 on Molina. Joanna Biolariano is coming up. And the first pitch his way is down and outside. Leon Stani Molina had some fielding troubles in Charleston last week and maybe carrying over into this homestand through the off days. Something we haven't said much about Leo and his entire Woodpeckers career going back to last year. Pitch up and inside. It flicks out of Gastone's glove. And Betancourt will get down to second base.
And that's trouble that happens when you see a two-out error take place. Add the pressure, obviously, if you're on the mound. One airmailed pitch and tying runs in scoring position.
Molina will still play towards the middle of the diamond. Garrett McGowan is off of that first base line trying to close the gap. Joanna Biel-Lariano ready for the 2-0, and he lifts it towards the rain tarp right side and drifting into the seats for a foul ball and strike one. 2-1 on Lariano, the 7-hitter and left fielder. He's a 190 batter on the year with 3 homers and 13 driven in. He has 27 total hits to go along with 31 walks. So the average not great, but the walks get his on base up to 333. Urias trying to get the final out of the top of the second. Here's his pitch out of the stretch, and he delivers a strike right on the inside edge. It is 2-2. Anything that were to come home against Urias in this inning would be unearned due to the two-out error. He's trying to close it down, and he does. Slider right on the low inside corner, and 4 strikeouts already. Racked up by Manuel Urias across 2 scoreless innings. Strands a man in scoring position after the error, and we go to the home second with Woodpeckers on top early, 1-0 in downtown Fayetteville.
David Sanford, North Carolina. Their mission is to help save the lives of unwanted at-risk dogs and cats throughout Lee County, North Carolina. Since their founding in 2013, they have helped find loving homes for over 500 pets. They are an all-breed dog and cat rescue and often takes in severe medical cases. For more information on how you can help or if you're interested in adopting or fostering a pet, visit their table on the first base concourse. On the mound for the Cannonballers, Shane Murphy. Leading off the bottom of the second inning for the Woodpeckers, the first baseman, number 46, Garrett McGowan. Dogs running. Say bye.
We play the bottom of the second inning in Fayetteville. 1-0 Woodpeckers as the left-hander Shane Murphy's back out there. First pitch to Garrett McGowan. Grounded it towards the middle. Backhanded scoop by Camaletti. He settles his feet, steps and throws to first. And Garrett McGowan with a well-struck ground ball, but he's retired on a 4-3 putout. And it brings up Sandro Gastone. Frank Perez will get a chance in the inning as well. 7-8-9 facing Murphy, who gave up an RBI single to Dari Lorenzo in the first inning. That's accounted for the game's only run in the early on, and Sandro's stepping up. Camaletti towards the middle again with Betancourt off of the first baseline. First pitch slider right at the top of the strike zone, called strike one by our home plate umpire tonight, Brandon Schmidt. And Corey Gerber works the bases, the two-man umpiring crew in the black ball caps, the black polos, and the dark gray pants. Here's the 0-1 to Gastone, and he gets under a breaking ball. High pop fly drifting towards shallow right. Straddling the line, Betancourt crosses into foul territory and brings it in for out number two. Nice quick inning for Shane Murphy so far after he had to throw a lot of pitches and face six Fayetteville batters in the first inning.
And I'm sure a lot of White Sox fans see a lefty that's been effective in Murphy and want to immediately draw comparisons to Chris Sale. He almost reminds me more like Clayton Kershaw on the mound with the big curveball that he brings to the table as well as a strong slider.
First pitch is a strike to Frank Perez. Yeah, I can see a little bit of both. Obviously, Sale a little taller, he has more of the three-quarters
right
arm slot, that sidearm delivery. Here's the 0-1, and a swing and a pop-up right side. Yep, Chicago's loved their left-handers over the years. You think about relievers as well. You know, Garrett Crochet, I know he's had some injury stuff, but was a high-level pitching prospect for them going through the system just a couple of years ago. The 0-2 pitch, and Perez strikes out on a down and inside slider, dominating 1-2-3 inning for Shane Murphy as he sets down the bottom of the Woodpeckers order and takes us into the top of the third. 1-0 the score. Woodpeckers on top early on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
And at this time, we'd like to recognize tonight's Methodist University hometown hero, Captain John Kistler. Captain John Kistler was born and raised in Fayetteville, North Carolina, graduating from both Douglas Byrd High School and Fayetteville State University. Captain Kistler enlisted in the Army in 2010, serving for 2 years in the infantry before attending East Carolina University for a master's degree in international studies and commissioning as a second lieutenant through ECU ROTC in 2015. Captain Kistler has served in Arizona, Colorado, and North Carolina, has deployed to Iraq and Korea, and currently serves as a planning officer for the 97th Civil Affairs Battalion. Captain Kistler enjoys spending time with his wife and sons, coaching baseball, traveling, gardening, and relaxing on the beach. Fans, let's hear it for Captain John Kistler. Thank you for your service.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Manuel Urias. Leading off the top of the third inning for the Cannonballers, the right fielder.
Series opener tonight in Fayetteville. Woodpeckers lead early, 1-0 in the top of the third. Manuel Urias in his first night as a starter threw a couple of scoreless frames, and now he squares off against Drake Logan. And here to tell you about it in the third and the fourth, let's send it back over to Colin Casey.
Thank you, Andrew Chapman. Breaking ball in the dirt to start the third inning for Urias, who is approaching his season high as far as pitch count goes, 31 currently. That high is 41 back in May on the road in Salem. Logan sends one foul off to the right, and that will land over the Avex Club on the roof. Drake Logan on the year, a 181 batting average, the one home run, and 10 driven in. Time is called, and Urias, I believe, dropped something out of the back of his pocket, picked it up. Logan, the 19th rounder in last year's draft out of Shelton State Community College, awaits the 1-1. He swings over the top of a good curveball. And Urias, one strikeout away from setting a new season high. He has struck out four times this year, but he can't get Logan to chase the slider down and away. 2-2. Logan got a small taste of pro baseball last year as he fills the count, takes the breaking ball outside. Played in half a dozen games in the Complex League. Did have a triple and drove in two, and through the offseason ended up in full season ball here in Kannapolis where he spent the whole season. Payoff pitch. Dips down and away, and just like the first inning, Urias starts it off with a leadoff walk. Logan heads on down to first, and nine-hitter Wilbur Sanchez, the shortstop, look to make something happen for Kannapolis, who trails 1-0 here in the third.
Well, the good news is for Fayetteville catchers that, you know, you hope a couple of weeks facing teams like the Fireflies and the River Dogs, who love to run and like to play small ball, that, you know, that worked out this catching core. John Garcia, Gastone, you know, they're ready to throw out runners, and they already have once tonight.
Pretty big lead for Logan, only has four stolen bases on the year. First pitch to Sanchez, misses up and in. 216 average on the year for Wilbur. One homer and 20 driven in. He's a returnee from the 2022 Kannapolis team. Urias delivers. Sent in the air, right side. That will make its way towards Hay Street. This is the third of four six-game series between these two teams, these in-state rivals. Final set of six games at Segra. Still one more series to be played in August out in Kannapolis. Letter high fastball called strike two. These Cannonballers who took 5-6 from Fayetteville in this ballpark in the first series, and then a split between the two in the six-game set at Atrium Health Ballpark a couple of weeks back in late May, early June. From the stretch, Urias with the 1-2. Fastball a couple inches high. Good take there from Sanchez, 2-2. First of 12 in a row as well for both these teams. Fayetteville, six at home, and then on the 4th of July on into the All-Star break in Zebulon. In the dirt, yet another full count. And on that pitch, Urias matches his season high with 41. Meanwhile, for the Cannonballers following this series, they will return home and take on Down East to wrap up the first half, not necessarily, but prior to the All-Star break, as throw over and McGowan secures it. Back with a dive is Logan. It'll be six with the Wood Ducks, the first half champions of the North. Then those 4 days off before they head out on the road to Columbia out of the break. Payoff pitch, Logan on the move, swing and a miss, strike three. The throw down by Gastone, dug out by Molina. In safely is Logan with his fifth steal of the season. And now he's going to be ruled out due to interference at the plate. Gastone was not given enough of a path to throw that ball, according to the umpires. Brandon Schmidt having a discussion. That will be the second out, so it'll end up being a strike him out interference double play.
Yeah, the rule is you have to, you don't have to completely leave the box, but you have to give a path directly in front of home plate. And Gastone's big enough, bigger than most catchers, where he takes up a little bit more space trying to move forward and go to second. And if there's even any sort of move by a batter stepping forward towards the plate or condensing the throwing lane, then sometimes you'll draw that call out of the plate ump, and Patrick Leland won't win the argument.
He walks away with a shake of his head. Gets back to the third base coaching box, and bases are now empty for the top of the Kannapolis lineup and Mario Camaletti. Urias dips a curveball down and in, nearly grazes the shoe tops of Camaletti, who reached on a walk and was caught stealing his first time up. Of course, Leland, the son of Detroit Tigers legendary manager Jim Leland, manages the Tigers to World Series appearance. Backdoor breaking ball called a strike. It's 1-1. Urias trying to make it three innings in back-to-back outings. He misses down with a curveball, and once again, Camaletti showing off his prowess as far as plate vision goes. Those three innings were a season long for Manuel out in Charleston on the 21st, exactly 1 week ago today. Just the one hit allowed. They were scoreless, and he struck out four. Fastball, just outside, 3-1. Urias initially signed with the Philadelphia Phillies all the way back in 2018. This is his fifth professional season. First four came in the Phillies org. Called strike two on the outside corner, and another full count for a Kannapolis hitter. Urias doesn't like the sign he got. Now gets the one he wants. And the payoff pitch. Breaking ball low for ball four. Third walk issued by Urias and the second drawn by Camaletti. Kannapolis has a two-out base runner at first. Bring up Chris Lanzilli, and that will send Zach Wilkins to the mound.
It's a couple of times now where Camaletti has drawn a full count and then drawn a walk. So he's not just drawing walks, but he's also working deep counts and forcing pitchers to throw more as a result of those walks. So, you know, he does it all. He's the type of hitter where even if he's in a 3-1 count and he gets a pitch down the middle, he'll sit back and watch it. He'll say, all right, 3-2. Throw another one. I'll take the walk, and that's what he's been doing.
Wilkins, the pitching coach, will head on back to the dugout. There is a right-hander starting to get loose. It is Brian Perez out in the Fayetteville bullpen. So you wonder if this might be the limit after this inning for Manuel Urias. We know he's passed his season high now, 48 pitches. Question is how much further with the Woodpeckers push it. Designated hitter Chris Lanzilli digs back in. And he takes a first pitch off speed on the outside corner. Talked about in his first at-bat, Lanzilli's days at Wake Forest, but he had a fifth year of college at Arkansas, made a deep run with the Razorbacks, and had a really strong season where he hit well over 320 as there's a chopper back to the mound on the half swing, and Manuel Urias completes the 1-3 putout. An unceremonious end of the inning for Kannapolis as we head to the bottom half of the third. Fayetteville 1, Canballers nothing on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Thank you, sir. As it is every Wednesday, it's all about the fur babies. So let's get straight to it. You're voting. You got to help us vote. All right? Let's start here on the end. Dog number one, this is Trinity. Trinity is a German short hair pointer mix. Isn't she pretty? Hello, Trinity. Dog number two is Luna. Luna is a lab bloodhound mix. Looking sparkling and all black this evening, Luna. Well done. Next to Luna, dog number three, this is Chipper Jones. Yes, that's the name of the dog. It's Chipper Jones. She is appropriately dressed in Woodpecker's attire, and Chipper Jones is a pug. Last but certainly not least, this adorable little thing is Estella. Estella is a Shih Tzu. I think she's, what, 6 months old, Mom? Yes, 6 months old. All right, folks, you've got to help us vote. There's a QR code up on the board, or was, at guest services right inside the main gate. There's also a QR code. Please vote. We'll be back in the sixth inning to see who chose. Trinity, Luna, Chipper Jones, or Estella. Go vote for your favorite dog. And go Peckers! Back up to you, Ray.
Fans, to vote on your favorite dog of the night, scan the QR code on the board. Back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Shane Murphy.
Leading off the ball.
The leadoff man, Zach Cole, bats for the second time. Again, the bottom of the third inning. Colin Casey, Andrew Chapman will be here all week long. First of six games between the Fayetteville Woodpeckers and the Kannapolis Cannonballers here on MILB.TV. Bally Live, or whether you're listening in on the radio, out in the car, or just tuning in wherever to Woodpeckers baseball year long on the Fayetteville Woodpeckers broadcast network, FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com, or the MILB First Pitch app. No shortage of ways you can tune in throughout the season to catch the second half of Woodpeckers baseball. 1-1 the count on Zach Cole. He is 0-1 with a strikeout looking. All-state product awaits. The pitch from the lefty Murphy. It's hit on the ground to third. Coming up with it, Willits. His throw to Betancourt in time. And Cole's retired to begin at the bottom of the third. One down for Jackson Lofton, who singled and scored the lone run of the ball game back in the first inning. He mentioned that he stole his 26th base of the year. That breaks a tie with Cody Orr for fourth as far as his single season record goes. And next one on the list is four away as Lofton takes strike one. That's Joey Loperfido last year, stole 30 bags before he got promoted. And in second at 35 is Logan Cerny, another 2022 Fayetteville Woodpecker, before you get to Miles Straw back in 2017 with the Buies Creek Astros, stole 36 bags. Lofton down 0-2 to Murphy, and he will take time. You have to imagine, with the new rules in place, the pitch count, limitations of disengagement for pitchers, you're going to see more and more of those crooked numbers as far as stolen bases. As Murphy sails a fastball high and Lofton does not oblige.
Well, I thought it was crazy when we went to Charleston. We got to see one of the fastest guys in the entire league, Chandler Simpson. He had 44 stolen bases, I think, by the time the series came to an end. I mean, off and running every time.
Lofton foul tips the 1-2, and you're starting to see at the major league level now with the rules put in place this year. This is, of course, the second year with all these new rules for minor league ball. But even the first year, major league level, talk about some of the accomplishments that Ronald Acuna could potentially hit. He's on pace for 70 stolen bases as Lofton takes a backdoor breaking ball from Murphy, called for strike three. He didn't like it. And it will go in the books as strikeout number four for Murphy, two down. People are talking about the 40-40 season for Ronald Acuna. We're looking more like 40-60 or 70 with the pace that he's running on. He's the clear-cut favorite at this point in the NL for most valuable player. There's a foul tip. Catches the hand of Colby Smelly and Luis Encarnacion down nothing and one. And that's even in a league where a guy's hit 400 right now in Luis Arraez.
Yeah. And somebody was telling me today, was it you, maybe it was somebody else, that I think it was you, Colin, about Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
He has a WAR right now on pace to have the fifth best WAR ever by a player in baseball history.
And the crazy thing is you look at the guys that are ahead of him. Three of them are Babe Ruth.
Yeah, okay.
And the fourth one is Carl Yastrzemski in that impossible dream season in 1967. As Encarnacion takes a high curveball 1-1 where he led the league in basically every category offensively. Hit for the Triple Crown. Also led an on-base percentage, slugging percentage, so OPS by default. Mm-hmm. OPS plus, if you want to look at some of the newer statistics, it was one of the best offensive seasons of all time. And Encarnacion slugs one out to center field, backing up McCarthy, but he stops well in front of the warning track and secures it for out number three. So Shane Murphy able to get through the top third of the Fayetteville order without incidents. 1-2-3 they go, and we are on to the fourth. 1-0 Woodpeckers from Segra Stadium.
Yeah. the planet. And Blinky stepped into the sun. There's more to see.
Fans, Bobcat of Fayetteville is the official sponsor of the Fayetteville Woodpeckers grounds crew. Visit Bobcat of Fayetteville off Highway 24 in East Fayetteville.
There's far too much to take in here. More to find than can ever be found. By the sun rolling high through the sapphire sky, keeps great and small on the endless run. Is the circle of life.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Manuel Urias. Leading off the top of the fourth inning for the Cannonballers, the third baseman, number 27, Bryce Willis.
Top of the fourth from downtown Fayetteville, 1-0 Woodpeckers, and Manuel Urias back on the mound, trying to extend his season-long outing of three innings without giving up a run in his first start as a member of the Woodpeckers. Gets a fastball over to Bryce Willis for a called strike one. Also has a season-high 5 strikeouts, including one on Willits to end the first inning where he faced the minimum. Count now 1-1, that pitch count at 52. Brian Perez continuing to get loose, so we might see him appear at some point. And this ball hit on the ground just inside the third base bag. Couldn't have placed it any better for Willits to shift on. Dar Lorenzo playing closer to shortstop, and it will be a leadoff infield single. It's the third time that the Cannonballers have gotten the leadoff man on against Manuel Urias.
And Willis playing pool with that swing. Just a little cue shot up the third base line. Looked like he was trying to pull that ball, but it ends up dribbling up third and corner pocket. He'll take it.
I'll bring up Colby Smelly. And he is very late on the fastball from Urias to start the AB. Smelly, 23 years of age. As Chappie mentioned before, out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. 13th rounder from Shelton State Community College in his hometown. Fastball up. 1-1. Did appear in 16 games last year with the Winston-Salem Dash, along with the 87 he spent with the Cannonballers. This is just his 12th game of this year. And he has an inside out swing out to right field. Perez backing up, makes the catch. That's out number one. Back to first base goes Willits. Shelton State Community College is digging in Ryan McCarthy. Seen more and more guys getting drafted out of there. How about this? A couple of JUCO teammates on this team with Smelly and Drake Logan both going to Shelton State. It's got to be cool for both of them to continue their careers at the professional level together in the same system. Urias misses with a fastball in on McCarthy. Got a couple of major leaguers out of Shelton State as you go further back. Russ Davis, one of them, back in 1988, drafted by the New York Yankees. Appeared in 612 major league games. Swing and a miss, and McCarthy can't put it in play. It's 1-1. And MLB draft getting closer and closer. Less than 2 weeks away now as the College World Series wrapped up a couple of days ago with the LSU Tigers taking home the crown over the University of Florida. Great curveball from Urias, and he locates it well, 1-2.
It was weird how that played out, right? He had a lot of close games early in the tournament, 1-2-run games, and then you have a 24-4 and an 18-4. That was weird.
Yeah, I had to imagine that with Florida roaring back with that blowout winning game two, it would have been a close game three.
Right.
Certainly not the case. And a balk has been called. So I pointed out right before Urias let go of that pitch. So up 90 feet goes Willits. The pitch was void, so the swing and miss does not matter. It stays 1-2. Something we've seen more of this year in minor league baseball, specifically the Carolina League. Umpires have cracked down on balks. That's just the second that Urias has committed. Pitch number 60 coming, and he gets the swing and a miss once again. So McCarthy down on strikes, his sixth strikeout for Manuel Urias, and that will likely be his last, as out of the dugout comes Ricky Rivera. He makes the move to the right-hander. And Manuel Urias' day is done, but still another strong performance and a pretty darn good first start in the Carolina League for Manuel Urias as he shakes his hands with his teammates. Hands off the ball, and Brian Perez will come in from left center field bullpen to try to get that final out here in the top of the fourth inning. Urias responsible for Willits at second. Tell you a bit more about Perez when we come back. Stay tuned.
So much to see, so what's wrong with taking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that winners is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 37, Brian Perez.
On second, two down, top of the fourth. Fayetteville leads 1-0, and right-hander Brian Perez takes over for Manuel Urias, trying to get the final out of this inning. Jonaker Betancourt is who stands in the way of that. Reached on an error his first time up on a hard-hit ball right at the second baseman, Leo's Danny Molina, who could not come up with it. Molina holding the runner on at second, and the first pitch from Perez misses outside for ball one. Perez, the Dominican Republic native, 19 years of age, no record, and a pitch is in there for a called strike. To Betancourt. Pardon me, that was a ball. 2-0. Pitch, and that one's over for a called strike. Perez, the 23-year-old, I should say, from the Dominican Republic, 0-1 record, 8.16 earned run average. This is his 15th appearance of the season, averaging just over an inning per appearance. There's a called strike two, and his goal right now is just to get this final out, get it on to Fred Dombrowski, who is now warming up in the Fayetteville bullpen. First outing in 11 days for Brian Perez. The 2-2 is foul tipped. Stays in the box where he went inning and a third. Did not surrender a run on two hits. I was in this ballpark against the Columbia Fireflies, so he did not play in the series on the road in Charleston. Just looking to get this final out. Comes set, And the 2-2 to Betancourt. Check swing, but Betancourt able to hold up. Full count.
Good pitch, slider. Lone outside, try to get him to chase a little bit.
Joanna Beal-Loriano waits on deck, hoping to get a chance with a 3-2 count and two outs. The pitch, and it's cracked well the other way, out to right. Frank Perez ranging back. He can't get there. It hops off the wall, and it will tie the game. Perez finally fires it back in, but not before Jonathan Betancourt comes into second with a double that drives in Willits. It's 1-1.
Yeah, he went from the slider to just think a fastball that was not poorly located. It looked like it was a little up and in, but still a good way to keep the hands tight and drive it out the opposite way. Perez covered a lot of ground out there. Frank Perez, he almost got to the spot. And now if you're Brian Perez, you got to work through the same spot. Two outs, runner at second. Now that runner is your responsibility. One earned for Urias today.
That pitch gets away, bounces all the way to Perez on the mound, and allows Jonaker Betancourt to get up to third. Oriano at the plate, and now a 1-0 count. For Betancourt, that is his 10th run driven in on the year and his third double. Gave it a pretty good ride, one hopped off the fence. Fayetteville will keep the infield back, though, with two down. Not having to worry about that run, at least at the moment. 1-0, fastball outside corner. So that run charged to Urias. Lone run he allows over 3 2/3 on one hit, three walks, six strikeouts. It'll be a no decision. Chopper hit up the middle. Coming in is Lofton. He throws on the run and retires Laureano at first to end the inning. But a two-out RBI double from Betancourt ties things at one. Kannapolis gets that run back. They surrendered all the way back in the first. And Fayetteville will head back to the plate with the middle of their order when we come back in the bottom of the fourth from Segra Stadium.
So the question is, I'm sitting here with the ladies from the Eastover Bolts. And the question is, if you could be reincarnated as a dog, what kind of dog would you be and why?
A chihuahua because I'm feisty.
Okay, chihuahua.
I would be a pug because they're the cutest and the tiniest.
Okay.
I'd be a German shepherd because they're the smartest.
Smart.
I'd be a chihuahua because they can be sweet and feisty.
Okay.
Pit bull boxer mix because they're bad.
Pit bull boxer mix? What do you got, babe?
A French bulldog because they have all the cute costumes.
Okay.
Pit bulls because they're just built different.
Built different.
Yes. Wiener dogs because they look like a hot dog.
That's a true statement.
An Australian shepherd because their eyes are so pretty.
Oh, that's the best. Ladies, thank you so much. It's time. On three, give me a big go, Peckers. One, two, three.
Go Peckers!
That's right.
Back on the mound for the Cannonballers, Shane Murphy. Leading off the bottom of the fourth inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 16, Dory Lorenzo.
Switch hitter Dory Lorenzo will bat from the right side against Shane Murphy, who's back out for his fourth inning of work. His team, the Kannapolis Cannonballers, tied up in the top of the fourth inning. Will now try to keep it that way as Lorenzo takes a breaking ball called strike one from Murphy. It was Lorenzo who drove in the opening run for Fayetteville back in the first inning. That's been kind of a theme for the Woodpeckers, as they've been getting on the board early in ball games. Did that a lot in Charleston as Lorenzo takes strike two. Despite those early runs, though, oftentimes against Charleston, they would come roaring back with runs of their own in the following innings. Close pitch taken by Lorenzo. It's 1-2.
Yeah, they really did. It felt like every time the Woodpeckers scored a run, Charleston would get one right back. Nice to see them today hold Kannapolis hitless all the way to the fourth, but they get a fresh ball game.
1-2, big cut at it by Lorenzo, stays alive. Speaking of Charleston, I guess the jinx doesn't really count when you're talking about it on a different broadcast, but they have gone so far in their game 18 up, 18 down against the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. It's Lorenzo. Sends it foul off to the right. The only problem is still a scoreless ball game, nothing.
Yeah, going there last week, I was surprised with the Charleston team. You know, impressed even is the right word, because I thought, you know, team that had the worst record in the league, they were just going to have a bunch of guys that were struggling, but they got some pretty good prospects. Xavier Isaac, who's a 19-year-old out of Fayetteville, they got some dudes that can hit up there.
Curveball taken outside by Lorenzo, and I think Jason Kemp, their broadcaster, summed it up well when he talked about all the one-run losses they had in that first half, and I think that was an example of it. A lot of those games didn't go their way in the first half. Certainly did in that series against Fayetteville. And Lorenzo putting together a nice at-bat here. We'll see another one from Shane Murphy as he fouls it off.
A lot of bullpen guys in Charleston that throw in the mid to high 90s. Woodpeckers saw a lot of 96, 97. I consider them as much of a contender as anybody in the second half with the talent that they do have.
2-2, fastball sails high, and Lorenzo works it back full. Won't see the River Dogs again until the final series of the year here at Segra Stadium. They're both those teams hoping to be right in the thick of things come those final half dozen contests. Close pitch, and it's called strike three. Fastball inside corner. Good location from Murphy, who picks up his fifth strikeout and sets down Lorenzo after a lengthy battle for the first out. Third strikeout looking that Murphy has gotten. He's frozen a couple of these top four Fayetteville batters so far. John Garcia digs in, drew a walk his first time up. He takes a big swing and can only foul it straight back. Garcia coming into today 6-for-35 on the year against the Cannonballers. He does have a home run and has driven in three against Kannapolis. Upstairs, 1-1. No bullpen action just yet for the Ballers, so this pace continues. Murphy could be on his way to another five-inning outing against the Woodpeckers. Would be his third this year. Garcia, hard on the ground to short, picked up by Sanchez. His throw is in plenty of time to get Garcia for out number two. 6-3 put out. Third ground out induced by Murphy so far. He's done a little bit of everything. He's got the strikeouts. He's gotten a couple of flyouts from the Woodpeckers. And two away, it was Danny Molino look to keep the inning alive. Molino's one of four guys on Sunday to register two hits as the Woodpeckers put up 11 as a team in the 6-3 win over Charleston. No balls and one strike to Molina. Zach Cole, Sandro Gastone, also with two hits. Ground ball to short again. This time backhanded by Sanchez, and he beats Molina to the bag with the throw. And that is now 10 in a row set down by Shane Murphy after a bit of a rocky first inning. He is in the zone. We've played four full from Segra Stadium. Fayetteville 1, Kannapolis 1 on the Woodpeckers broadcast network.
Make some noise!
Get a little deeper down on the low key. Cause you know how it feels. I started shorty, she was checking up on me. From the game, she was sitting in my ear. You would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat. Conversation got heavy. She had me feeling like she's ready to.
Watch out!
Yeah.
me to take her with me. She's ready to leave.
Well, let's go.
And I gotta keep it real now. Cause on the 1 to 10, she's a certified 20.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service. Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 46, Trey Dombrowski. Leading off the top of the fifth inning for the Cannonballers, the right fielder, number 10, Drake Logan.
Top of the fifth from Fayetteville. 1-1 our score at Segra Stadium. Into the box is Drake Logan, the Kannapolis right fielder. Onto the mound is left-hander Trey Dombrowski. And onto the play-by-play, Xander Chapman.
All right, thank you, Colin. Yeah, Trey Dombrowski, third arm rolled out by the Woodpeckers. When it's time for a change, it's time to go to Black's Tire and Auto Service. Trey Dombrowski winds and kicks and throws his 0-1, and a swing and a miss by Logan on a biting breaking ball, and it's nothing and two. Trey 2-5 with a 3.30 ERA. 13 games, 9 starts, 60 even innings for Trey Dombrowski, one of the Carolina League's top strikeout guys with 80 Ks, 21 walks, and a very good whip of 1.13. Logan walked his first time, and here's the pitch. He swings through a fastball, and down he goes. Three pitches, and Trey Dombrowski picks up his first strikeout. It is the seventh strikeout for Fayetteville pitching between the starter Urias and now Trey. One gone, and Wilbur Sanchez coming up to the plate. Trey Dombrowski is the 22-year-old, originally from New Jersey, and the fourth-round draft pick by the Houston Astros in 2022. Wilbur Sanchez is ready, and the first pitch to the nine-hitter is taken for a strike. Brandon Schmidt behind the plate. Gerber on the bases. There's been one balk call. That was against Urias when he was out there in the fourth inning. Trey Dombrowski nods the head, working from the third base side of the rubber, winds and pitches, and a ground ball towards short, shuffling to his left as Lofton scoops with two hands, a step and a throw right to the shoulders of Garrett McGowan, and there are two gone. Strikeout, ground out, back to the top of the order we go for the Cannonballers, third time through, and it's the left-hander Mario Camilletti stepping in. Dombrowski's given up 47 hits on the year and 22 earned runs. We last saw him on the road in Charleston back on the 21st. That was Wednesday night, game two of the series, and he got the start. Here's the pitch to Camilletti, and the left-hander takes low and away for ball one. This is the first time that Dombrowski has come out of the bullpen in June, and the first time since all the way back on May 23rd. It seemed like he was transitioning into being exclusively a starter, but the role changed tonight with Urias becoming a starter for the first time. A slider into the zone to Camilletti, and it's 1-1. He's walked in both plate appearances, both times when he was facing full counts as well, 1-1. And he swings early on a slider, darting down and away. 1-2 on Camilletti, and Dombrowski trying for a snappy 1-2-3, top of the fifth, almost halfway through it tonight. It is tied up 1-1, two hits per side. Woodpeckers with a fielding error. That's the only difference in the line scores. 1-2 kick and pitch. Camilletti fouls it back into the screen. Camilletti, the former Central Michigan ball player and college teammate of Andrew Taylor, who he'll get to square off against at some point later in this series, you would presume. And now the wind in the 1-2. He swings and hits a line drive out into right center field. That drops down. Zach Cole cuts it off before the track and quickly gets it back in. Mario Camilletti, he's had a two-strike count in every at-bat today. And those counts have resulted in two walks and a single. He only needs one pitch and to do his job, and he's done it well today.
He's going to be an important player for Kannapolis, at least to start this second half with Tim Elko getting the promotion. They're going to be looking all throughout this lineup for everyone to step up and fill the void that he'll leave behind. And a good way to do that is a couple of two-out base hits from that leadoff spot.
Adding to the importance of Camilletti getting on base as a leadoff hitter is the fact that Jordan Sprinkle is on the injured list as well. He's a fastball player, good contact-oriented guy, and a player that was leading off for the Cannonballers for most of May and June before winding up on the IL. Down and in slider got Lanzilli swinging. Here's the 0-1, and it tied him up again. Slider bearing in on his knees, and he hugs the plate quite a bit, so that's a tough pitch to swing at. 0-2 on Lanzilli, 0-2 today. Strikeout and a tap out to the mound. Big hole on the right side of the diamond. Molina towards the middle against the right-handed batter. Dombrowski's first inning out of the bullpen, trying to go scoreless. Here's his pitch. And he strikes him out swinging. Triples up on the breaking ball. It drops down and in towards the dirt. Gastone backhanded it, tags out Lanzilli to end the inning. And Mario Camilletti stranded on first after a two-out single. We are halfway home tonight in downtown Fayetteville. The series opener tied at one on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
You've won a tumbler courtesy of Blanton's. Call Blanton's for all your air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical needs. Mwah! Show us those tumblers. There it is, cool as a fan. For the Cannonballers, Shane Murphy. Leading off the bottom of the fifth inning for the Woodpeckers, the first baseman, number 46, Garrett McCowan.
Tie ball game in the bottom of the fifth inning. 1-1 the score, and the left-hander Shane Murphy back out there for his fifth inning of work. Squares off against left-hander Garrett McGowan. And a first pitch slider bends to the center. It is called strike 0-1. McGowan, Gastone, and then Frank Perez, who all were retired by Murphy the first time up. He'll bat here in the fifth. Here's the 0-1. And McGowan lines it deep out into center, but McCarthy playing deep takes a couple of steps back and makes the snare at his belt for out number one. McGowan struck the ball pretty well today. Hard ground ball to second, deep liner to center, but nothing to show for it. And Sandro Gastone works his way to the plate for his second time.
Yeah, he's had some bad luck. I mean, that first ground ball he hit was right at Camilletti at second base, and this one had pretty good exit velo on it as well, but unfortunately right at the center fielder McCarthy.
And Sandro over top of a breaking ball on the first pitch. As for him, he popped out up along the first base line in the second inning and so far has seen nothing but Shane Murphy sliders. 0-1, another breaking ball. He checks the swing and the pitch down in the dirt. And for Sandro, it's got to be tough when you know that a breaking ball is coming your way. That is the scouting report. I mean, he hardly is getting fastballs thrown his way anymore. And part of it, you would think, just mentally, you say, all right, just don't swing at it. Just lay off. But at the same time, if you throw a really good breaking ball, it looks like it's going to be in the zone until it's not at the last second. So you kind of get the difficulty there. And Gastone gets another breaker over top of it. Three pitches, and he strikes out for the second out of the fifth inning. It's one of those things where there's never been a more predictable scouting report against him, but he's still struggling to kind of figure it out and catch up to some of those breaking balls or even lay off some of them. So two gone, Frank Perez at the plate. 1-1 tie game in the home fifth.
Just like Pedro Serrano, though, from Major League, when he does get that fastball,
that's right,
it goes a long way.
That's right. Yep, he can square it up. He's stronger than any of them in this league. And here's the first one to Perez, called a strike. A lot of bending stuff right now from Shane Murphy as He has struck out 12 and walked just one. Here's his 0-1. Down and inside towards the back foot of Perez. Throwing five straight breaking balls by my count right now. Trey Dombrowski pitched the top of the fifth. It's been a collaboration by the Fayetteville staff, but all Murphy on the Kannapolis side. Here's the 1-1. And a Perez swing and a miss, 1-2. Luis Perez activated off of the injured list last week when we were in Charleston, so he's another guy available on the Woodpeckers bench. They got Frank and Luis is back and available. 1-2 is just a little high. Two balls and two strikes. Tyler Whitaker started a rehab assignment in the Florida Complex League over the weekend, and the Woodpeckers hope to have him back by maybe week's end, going into next week's road trip in Raleigh. 2-2 pitch coming home, and Perez strikes out waving. Breaking ball down and in, and it's the big hook from Shane Murphy that picks up a couple of strikeouts and a 1-2-3 fifth for him. So he's through five, we're through five. Going to the sixth, and Trey Dombrowski returning to the mound in a 1-1 game.
To wish you a happy birthday. On the mound for the Woodpeckers, Trey Dombrowski. Leading off the top of the sixth inning for the Cannonballers, the third baseman, number 27, Bryce Willis.
Thanks for being with us tonight in downtown Fayetteville. Andrew Chapman alongside Colin Casey on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Bryce Willis leads it off in a 1-1 game. Trey Dombrowski, the left-hander, pitches. And a number off the end of the bat goes foul third base side, and it's 0-1 on Willits. Kannapolis has the lineup trying to rebrand tonight, search for some answers after promotions of a couple of their top bats. A slider outside missed, and it's 1-1. Tim Elko, who led the league offensively in just about everything, Colin, is up to Winston-Salem, and so is Jacob Burke, the former UMiami ball player, and he had some great numbers. Slider in there for a strike, and it's 1-2 on Willits. You know, Kannapolis kind of saying, all right, what's our lineup going to do? Who's going to step up now in the early stages of the second half? Shallow at third is Dari Lorenzo. The 1-2 pitch, Willits takes it a little high. 2-2.
Also saw the promotion of sixth-rounder last year, Eric Adler, another Wake Forest guy, so one of Chris Lanzilli's teammates, now going up to go play in the town where he played his college ball.
Dombrowski throws the break even, and it's dumped foul into the screen. So a three ball, two strike, or 2-2 count still on Willits, who has singled and scored the only Kannapolis run. That was on an RBI double from Jonaker Betancourt against Brian Perez, but that run went against the starter Manuel Urias, who allowed Willits to reach on that leadoff single. 2-2 again. A swing and a miss, late on a fastball, and Trey Dombrowski challenges Willits, picks up his third strikeout already. 9 Ks for Fayetteville pitching over 5 1/3. Pretty good strikeout rate tonight for the staff. 6 by Urias, 3 from Trey, and Here comes Colby Smelly, the right-handed hitting catcher.
Detroit came into this game with 80 on the year, three back of Frank Mozzicato. He just continues to find his way in that top five. He's been there all season long.
High pop fly on the first pitch. This is hovering near the mound. Dari Lorenzo coming forward, tracking into the twilight, but it gets over his shoulders and drops on the turf. Tricky time of night as the stadium lights start to take over, but it's still a dark blue sky. Or kind of a light blue, hazy sky almost, twilight. And Trey Dombrowski takes a moment to talk to Dari Lorenzo and try and pump him back up. That's the type of teammate Trey is. Said, look, easy out. That was should have been out number two, but he quickly has his guys back and says, let's turn two.
And that's a great mentality to have on the mound as well. You know, can't really pay much attention to what goes on behind you. Not only that, but reminding your guys on defense, hey, we got this. We're in good shape. I can take care of us here on the mound.
Ryan McCarthy is now in. And he takes a first pitch slider right on the outside corner, called strike one. And Dombrowski has that breaking ball, the sharp slider that can induce a lot of ground ball contact. McCarthy, a 286 hitter, takes a strike on the low outside corner. Fastball complementing the slider to start the at-bat, and Dombrowski quickly works ahead, nothing in two. McCarthy 0 for 2, fly out to center and a strikeout. They did put an error up on the board against Dari Lorenzo there. Left on left as Dombrowski takes a long look to first, pitches, strikes him out, slider bearing low and outside. And quickly Dombrowski recovers, gets the second out, 10th strikeout of the night for Fayetteville pitching. Jonaker Betancourt coming up.
Maybe that's why Trey was perfectly fine with that ball drop to get some more strikeouts to his ledger, because he has just been probably the most dominant pitcher in the entire Carolina League this year against left-handed batters. He's just been unhittable against southpaws.
Yeah, for about 2 months he didn't walk a single left-hander until it was actually Mario Camilletti that put an end to that stretch. Betancourt taking strike one, 0-1 on the Kannapolis first baseman and six hitter. On first is Colby Smelly. Here's the 0-1. It's popped up and out of play behind home. Regarding the error on Lorenzo, I don't know if he ever actually touched that ball. It might have grazed his mitt, but he was camped under it for so long and right next to it that, you know, scorer's discretion. You can kind of make your decision there. And that, at the end of the day, is an error on Lorenzo being as close as he was to the pop fly. Two strikes and two outs as Dombrowski tries to overcome, pick up a couple of strikeouts. He misses down and in, and that ball scoots over Gastone's shoulder, rolls slowly to the backstop, and Colby Smelly struts down to second base. First wild pitch by Dombrowski tonight. 1-2 count on Betancourt. He has driven in the Cannonballers' only run with an RBI double that got over the head of Frank Perez and Wright. Led to his RBI, and now a deep fly, cranked down into left field. This is going to give the Cannonballers the lead. Two-run shot over the berm in left. No doubt blast for Betancourt. And he has driven in all three of the Cannonballers' runs tonight to give them a 3-1 advantage. A pair of runs that will ultimately be unearned on Trey Dombrowski due to the error and a couple of strikeouts, but Betancourt got all of that baseball, a long home run, and a multi-run lead for the Ballers here in the series opener.
Yeah, this is a Kannapolis team, rather, that just knows how to barrel up the ball and send it a long way. We saw Tim Elko, it went off the billboard a couple of weeks back in the first series at Segra between these two teams, and that one didn't quite get to the billboard, but you knew it right off the bat that Betancourt got every bit of it.
Now it's Joanna Bill Laureano standing in, and he swings at the first pitch, lifts it foul. So Betancourt, RBI double, two-run home run. Three unanswered for Kannapolis since the Woodpeckers got the scoring going early in the bottom of the first. Next pitch to Laureano, and this is drilled. Right center field, over Perez's head, and over the wall. Back-to-back home runs by the Cannonballers. Betancourt and now Laureano. And it's 4-1 Kannapolis.
just a frustrating inning out there for Fayetteville. You had the strikeout to open it, pop up that fell beyond the reach of Lorenzo, and then it was Betancourt and Laureano who made him pay for that error with two outs. And all four of these runs have come in with two outs, so credit to the Cannonballers. They have not mailed it in these two-out situations. They have gone to the plate and taken some big-time swings.
Here's the first pitch to Drake Logan. He shoots it foul off to the right. And again, all of these runs right now are not damaging the ERA of Trey Dombrowski. These are all unearned due to the strikeout, then the drop pop fly, and then the strikeout that followed. Dombrowski, you know, should have been out of the inning before he faced Betancourt. And gave up the two-run home run, then the solo shot. Slider backdoor to Logan, and it's nothing and two. Also, by the way, shout out to the fan in right center field that caught that line drive home run on the fly. There's a pitch that is low. He stood in there and he snared it. That was a heck of a catch.
That was well over 100 off the bat.
Yeah.
I mean, he no glove, nothing.
Here's the wind kick and the 1-2 pitch, and Logan strikes out swinging. Change up down and outside, and Trey Dombrowski, who had not given up a home run in June, gives up back-to-back shots to the Cannonballers, and they score three in the sixth to go up 4-1 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Fans, the votes are in. Let's go down to Double Play Doug with the winner.
As voted on by you, the fans, it's the finale of the Dog Show for this Wagon Wednesday. Let's remind you of the contestants. First up was Trinity, followed by Luna, followed by Chipper Jones, and last but not least, Estella. Survey says, as voted by you, the fans, the winner is Chipper Jones. Congratulations, Chipper. How's it feel, Mom?
Feels good.
Fantastic. Chipper, do you have any words for the fans? I didn't think so. Mom, give me a big go, Peckers.
Go Peckers!
That's right.
Fans, this Cannonballers Pick and Change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Cannonballers, number 29, Horatio Andujar. Leading off the bottom of the sixth inning for the Woodpeckers, the leadoff hitter, the center fielder, number 6, Zach Cole.
The Woodpeckers trail by 3, 4-1 in the home sixth inning. Zach Cole leads off against a new Kannapolis right-hander. Horatio Andujar has taken over for Shane Murphy. He closed his night on a great stretch of 10 in a row retired as he goes 5 innings. And it was even more than that, make it 13 in a row retired by Murphy as Zach Cole takes up and in. 2 balls and no strikes. Andujar enters the game 2-0 with a 4.76 ERA. 9 games, 17 innings, and 1 save on the season. Pitches down and inside. And it's 3-0 on Cole. 9 earned runs given up, 4 home runs over the 17 innings, which has been an issue for him. 10 walks, 10 strikeouts make it 4 walks. And the next pitch, a ball to Cole, 4-pitch walk to begin the inning. And the Woodpeckers have their first base runner since the first inning when John Garcia drew a walk. Shane Murphy was locked in from the jump, and he completes 5 innings and then finally gets more run support with the 2-run home run from Jonaker Betancourt, the solo home run for Laureano as the Cannonballers go back-to-back, and nobody happier in that Kannapolis dugout, perhaps, than Murphy getting to watch that before he departs officially. Jackson Lofton is into the right side of the plate, and the first pitch down and away to him, so Andujar is issued 5 straight balls out of the bullpen here. And Fayetteville will take the free base runners where they can get them. Lofton has singled and scored the Woodpeckers' only run. That was in the first on a Dari Lorenzo single. Then he struck out looking in the third. Andrew Haar wearing the socks up high. High red socks, some red Adidas cleats. Black mitt goes down to the belt. Left leg kick and pitch. It is a strike. Fastball framed on the outside edge. 1-1 on the former Oral Roberts ball player Jackson Lofton.
He saw his alma mater make it to Omaha this year.
Mm-hmm. Talking a little College World Series with the manager, Ricky Rivera, pregame. And they were kind of that Cinderella story, ORU. Early on in Omaha, they had one of their big swings, a go-ahead three-run home run in the ninth inning of their first game in Omaha. Jackson Lofton, no doubt, watching them closely. One ball, one strike pitch. Cole breaking for second. It's a fastball called a strike. Throw down is not collected by Camiletti. In and out of his mitt. And Zach Cole dives into second with a stolen base. That is stolen base number 20 on the year for Cole in now 25 attempts.
He was on that kind of pace last year when he joined Lady. He had an absurd amount of stolen bases in the 6 weeks that he was here, picking up right where he left off in 2023.
And he's going again, breaking for third. Called a strike on Lofton, but Cole gets in without a throw. He steals bag number 21. Lofton strikes out for a second time, and there's one away in the sixth inning. But a possible run 90 feet away, and Luis Encarnacion coming to the plate.
And I think you'll take that if you're the Cannonballers, how the inning started with five straight balls issued by Andrew Haar. Despite Cole going 180 feet in two pitches, you get that all-important first out in a three-run game.
Encarnacion attacking the first one, and he was a little late on a fastball. Nothing in one on Enka. Encarnacion, a strikeout and a flyout to center field, but always aggressive. Woodpeckers' leading hitter during June, and he had three multi-hit games last week in Charleston. The 0-1, and it misses down and outside. Andrew Haar slipped as he came down the slope. Nearly fell over off to the left side. And he'll ask for a new baseball and a 1-1 count. You know, we were talking about College World Series, Oral Roberts, Jackson Lofton, of course, keeping in touch with some of those guys. Zach Cole talked about texting some of his close buddies on the Ball State team during their regional that they were playing in, and what you often hear is just those relationships, they last for life. Here's the 1-1, and it swung on, fouled backwards. Especially when you make those deep runs with a team and you're remembered in your school's history for the accomplishments that you had. Cole says, yeah, I've got teammates who are also going to be friends for life for a long, long time, and I'm sure that Jackson Lofton feels similar with some of his former teammates at ORU. 1-2 pitch, and Encarnacion fouls it off. On top of that, Cole said he was really excited to see if maybe some of his Ball State teammates wind up in the Astros organization, wind up in pro ball in general. With the draft upcoming, I'm sure there's guys from that program, from Oral Roberts and others, the Woodpeckers' alma maters, that'll be becoming pros. And Encarnacion stays away from a high fastball on the 1-2 in the count levels. Two balls and two strikes with Zach Cole down at third, couple of stolen bases. And one gone. Fayetteville trailing 4-1 after a three-run Kannapolis sixth. And Encarnacion chops this ball to short. It'll bring in a run. Snared by Sanchez. Step in a casual throw to first to get the second out. But the Woodpeckers get on the board for the first time since the opening inning. And they've cut it down to a two-run deficit. 4-2 the score as Zach Cole comes in. And Luis Encarnacion picks up RBI number 20 of the year.
Can't be too upset about getting a run back here in the sixth after the rough top half of the inning.
First pitch swung on and sharply over to second base. Camiletti, the pickup and the putout to end the sixth. But the Woodpeckers respond to a three-run Kannapolis sixth inning with a run of their own. Back to a two-run ball game, 4-2, going to the seventh on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Crew, visit Bobcat of Fayetteville off Highway 24 in East Fayetteville.
Hutchins Law Firm has served this community's legal needs for over 42 years and have now expanded to cover the Carolinas. For all of your civil legal needs, Hutchins Law Firm can help. As a dedicated partner of the Woodpeckers over the last 5 years, Hutchins and the Woodpeckers would like to recognize the Hutchins Law Firm high-performance season ticket holder of the game, Dennis Franker and Bob and Judy Berry. Congratulations.
Stand up and take a bow. And when we both get older, with walking canes and hair of gray, have no fear, even though it's hard to hear, I will stand real close and say thank you for being a friend.
I wanna thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Trey Dombrowski.
Top of the seventh inning in Fayetteville. If you're coming out to the ballpark this week, you can make sure you get your hands on the homestand item of the week, the Bunker Bobblehead, available inside the Bird's Nest team store or online at FayettevilleWoodpeckers.com. Woodpeckers get a run back. It is 4-2 in the top of the seventh. Dombrowski back out there. And let's send it back over to Colin Casey for the play-by-play.
Thank you, Chappie. Curveball catches the outside corner for Dombrowski, the 2022 fourth-round pick for the Houston Astros out of Monmouth University in New Jersey. Fastball high, and it is 1-1 on Wilbur Sanchez, who's 0-2 with a strikeout and a groundout so far. A little bit of a haze kind of forming out in the outfield as the sun has set. Fly ball sent to center. Cole sizing it up, and he makes the catch with the first out. Temperatures are only going to get warmer as the summer goes on, of course, here in Fayetteville, but it's starting to look like it's going to be a very hot weekend as 4th of July comes around. Those highs are projected in the high 90s. See if the ball starts to travel a little bit more because of it. Certainly has tonight with the back-to-back home runs from Betancourt and Laureano for the Cannonballers. First pitch is fouled off. Mario Camaletti digs in for the fourth time. He's reached base so far in all three trips. And he sends one out to left field. This is playable. Coming in, Garcia makes the catch for the second out. So finally, Camaletti is set down. The Woodpeckers happy to see that, a guy who's gotten on base more than basically anybody in the Carolina League. The base is empty, two down, and it's a battle of the former Harwich Mariners. Chris Lanzilli squaring off against Trey Dombrowski, takes a fastball up high. They were never teammates, though, in the Cape League, with Lanzilli being with Harwich in 2019, Trey in 2021. But Lanzilli was still in the Cape League during the summer of 2021. Called strike on the outside corner. And that was with the Brewster Whitecaps, who went on to win the 2021 championship. These two guys actually squared off in the playoffs against each other as Lanzilli smashes one on the ground to third. A nice job by Lorenzo backing up. His throw skips in, but McGowan digs it out. And the side is retired. So Trey Dombrowski pitches a clean 1-2-3, top of the seventh inning. We head to the stretch at Segra. 4-2 Kannapolis on the Woodpeckers broadcast network.
Alcohol purchases at our concession stands will be cut off at the start of the eighth inning. Last call. Last call for alcohol. All right, fans, it's time for the ERA Struthers seventh inning stretch. Get on your feet and help us sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
take. Sing a little louder. I, so it's root peckers. Sing it loud. At the old, atta boy, peckers, atta boy.
But I've been forgotten, I do. I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, cotton, I do? But I've been forgotten, I do. I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, cotton, I do?
On the mound for the Cannonballers, Horatio Andujar. Leading off the bottom of the seventh inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman.
We open the bottom of the seventh inning with a pitch clock violation. It goes against Horatio Andujar. John Garcia, the batter, with a 1-0 count, takes a called strike one. 4-2, still the lead for the Cannonballers, thanks to a three-run top of the sixth inning. Back-to-back home runs. Garcia takes it low for ball two. The win here, Kannapolis, they would improve to 9-4 this year against the Woodpeckers, 13 games. Garcia chases strike three, throw on down to first, and it is a strikeout and 2-3 put out. Second strikeout for Andujar in relief, and with one away, up comes Leo's Danny Molina. Molina 0-2, a pop out and a ground out. And Brennan Schmidt will clean off home plate. Molina trying to follow up the multi-hit game he had back on Sunday. Swings at the first pitch and gets a piece of it held onto by the catcher Smelly. Been rough sledding for the bottom four in the Fayetteville order. They have combined to go 0-8 their first two times through. Molina spoils it to fall behind 0-2. Just the two hits for the Woodpeckers, both coming in the first inning. Narbe Cruz, no Ricardo below, and the offense seemingly feeling that those losses as of now as Molina strikes out swinging. Back-to-back punch-outs for Andujar. Two up, two down. He's set down five in a row after that leadoff walk that eventually came in to score with Cole last inning. Garrett McGowan has struck the ball well tonight, but is 0-2. He swings at the first pitch and skies it. Back behind second base, the shortstop Sanchez calling everyone off. Tails on him at the last second. He makes a snow cone catch, backing up into the outfield grass. That is six in a row set down for Andujar. A very quick 1-2-3 bottom of the seventh. Woodpeckers down to their final six outs. They trail 4-2 here at Segra Stadium as we go to the top of the eighth on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Coffee wrap.
Come to me, come to build back to me.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Trey Dombrowski. Leading off the top of the eighth inning for the Cannonballers, the third baseman, number 27, Bryce Willicks.
The heart of the order for the Kannapolis Cannonballers, who enjoy a 4-2 advantage over the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. As we go to the eighth inning, Trey Dombrowski misses down and away with a fastball. This is his fourth inning of work. He's given up three runs, all three unearned, after an error with one away, prolonged the inning. Went on to give up a two-run shot to Jonaker Betancourt in Joanna Beal Laureano, followed with a solo home run. First time all season that two opposing players have gone back-to-back on Fayetteville. Dombrowski misses outside 3-0. Rare favorable count for a lefty against Dombrowski. Bryce Willits, the batter, 1-for-3. Singled to score a run in the fourth, but he has also struck out twice. Taking all the way, and that is ball four. Four-pitch walk issued by Trey. First free pass handed out of the ball game. Another leadoff man on for the Cannonballers, and cleanup man, Colby Smelly, steps into the box. On the off day yesterday, of course, this week a bit rare for the Carolina League back-to-back off days, of course, not including the All-Star break, as there's a fifth straight ball issued by Dombrowski to start the inning. But players, of course, enjoying that off day. Broadcasters as well, as Chappie and I hit the links just down the road and got 18 holes in, as that misses ball two on Smelly. Ran into Trey Dombrowski out there with Jackson Lofton playing 18 holes. Ran into Trey again today, and he asked me how it went, and I said, I got no comment.
Hey, did you have fun? That's all that matters, yeah. Colin. And I had a good time.
Yeah. I did say to Trey, I was just happy to get out, because it seemed like every Monday in the past off day, we were hit with rain in the Fayetteville area. So it was a warm one, but it was still great to get out there. 2-0, and it's hit on the ground to third. This could be two. Throw by Lorenzo to second. Molina back to first in time. 5-4-3 around the horn. Just with doctor order for Dombrowski. Base is empty and two down.
Nice turn by Leo Molina. You know, he hasn't had a lot of opportunities. Balls hit his way today. Really nothing since that line drive up the middle in the second that he pulled his glove away from too early. So he's been waiting for a chance to make a play defensively, and he had a nice turn right there and helps out Trey. The defense going to work for him now after, you know, that tough luck pop fly in the last inning.
Ryan McCarthy bats with two away, and he goes around on the half swing. 0-1. Trey delivers, and it misses low. He's been on the wrong side of decisions this year. Dombrowski has, that is. Does have five losses and is currently on the hook. Misses inside with the breaking pitch. League high is six. Number of guys, including his teammate, Jose Nadal. Of course, both those guys have not really pitched to that record, per se. Line drive sent into left center field. That will fall in for McCarthy, who nets a two-out single. Fired back in by Garcia. And that is the fourth hit allowed now by Trey Dombrowski tonight.
Well, you said it earlier, Colin. The four runs for the Cannonballers today have all come across with two outs, and that's been the theme for their lineup. Great two-out hitting today. Add another one into the tally, the double in the fourth, the two home runs in the sixth, and now a two-out single as they've been able to extend some innings against Dombrowski.
Here's the man of the hour, Betancourt. Swings to the first pitch and cannot connect. Jonaker Betancourt reached on an error in the second inning, although to his credit, that ball was smoked right at Leo's Danny Molina. The ball hard then went the other way for extra bases with an RBI double, and then the two-run home run. That came in the sixth as Betancourt grounds it outside of third base. And the count is 0-2. It was a towering home run. Out over everything and left, cleared the berm. There's a fan who was reaching up for right along those drink rails beyond that left field berm past the bullpens. 0-2 pitch, a little bit outside. It's safe to say that these Cannonballers have a couple of the longest home runs we've seen at Segra Stadium in 2023 between the shot that Tim Elko hit in the last series and Betancourt tonight. Curveball swung on and missed. And Dombrowski gets out of the inning unscathed. He pitches around a walk and a single in, picks up his sixth strikeout of the contest. We head to the home half of the eighth inning. Fayetteville still trails 4-2 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
Hey, you feel that? It's time for the power of love. It's time for the Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam.
It's a curious thing. Make a one man weep.
Kiss Cam.
Sing. Change your heart to a little white dove.
Kiss Cam.
That's the power of love.
Kiss Cam.
Tougher than diamonds.
Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam. Kiss Cam.
Don't take fame. Don't need a credit card to ride this train.
Double Kiss Cam.
And it's cool sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of love.
Fans, this Cannonballers pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Cannonballers, number 8, Ben Beutel. Leading off the bottom of the 8th inning for the Woodpeckers, the catcher, number 47, Sandro Gaston.
Home half of the 8th from Segra Stadium. Sandro Gaston leads off and hits one up the middle. Second baseman Camiletti has to come a long way to reel it in, but he makes the play and throws it on to first. One pitch, one out. Sandro Gaston retired by the new left-hander on the mound for Kannapolis. It is Ben Beutel, Davenport, Iowa native, 23 years old, and he has been extremely effective in relief this year for the Cannonballers. 2-0 with a 0.64 earned run average over 10 games. Frank Perez takes strike one, belt high. 14 innings of work for Beutel. 14 strikeouts, just 2 walks. And he's already ahead, nothing and 2 on Perez, who is 0 for 2 with 2 strikeouts. The 0-2. Off speed that gets away from Beutel. Went to school in his home state, University of Iowa. Also spent time at Bowling Green. And Perez lines one up the middle with 2 strikes, and he is aboard for the one-out single. That puts the tying run at the plate in the form of Zach Cole.
Well, you know, Frank Perez, there's a little bit of swing and the miss in his game still at this stage, but he swings hard, and when he makes contact, it's coming off the barrel quick. He hit a home run in a tough ballpark to go deep in Charleston last week. And his singles aren't cheapies. They're line drives to the outfield.
Hit a home run. It was also opposite field into the wind out to right.
Yeah.
At the Joe. So Zach Cole sees a called strike one from Beutel. Started at Bowling Green and then spent the rest of his career as a Hawkeye in the Big Ten. really impressive 2022 season. 3-0 with a 1.47 earned run average out of the pen. It's Cole. Swings out of his shoes. 0-2. Not a big lead over at first for Perez. The breaking ball misses outside. A check swing from Cole, but he did not went around. He did not go around.
Yeah, I think there's something with the release point of Beutel. How he has a little bit of a hitch and hides the baseball in his delivery. That pitch was way outside and almost got a check and a swing out of Cole.
A two-strike pitch, and Cole lines it into right field for a base hit. So Frank Perez and Zach Cole, the 9-1 hitters, deliver a couple of singles against the tough left-hander out of Iowa. Don't look now, but Fayetteville has the tying run at first and the go-ahead run coming into the plate in the form of Jackson Lofton. Second time that Cole has reached base. We'll see what Lofton can do here. Singled in the first and scored the opening run. He has since struck out twice. Beutel's first pitch forces Lofton to jump out of the way. With Cole at first, but Perez in front of him, don't know how likely you'd see both of them in motion. Frank Perez, not a big runner over the course of his career with the Houston Astros organization. Lofton fouls it off, evens things at one. Did have a 7-steal season in 39 games in the Dominican Summer League back in 2019. But has never eclipsed that mark since. Has just one steal in one attempt with the Woodpeckers so far this year. This being his 16th game. Great change up there from Beutel at the knees, and it's 1-2. Shane Murphy, strong performance to start the ball game for Kannapolis. The lefty went 5 innings, gave up just the 1 run on 2 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, and he retired the final 13 batters he faced. In line for what would be his third victory of the year. The pitch, and a late decision to swing from Lofton, and he is down on strikes for the third time. I think that was just a formality swing there. He recognized that was a called strike three and pulled the trigger anyway. Two down.
Yeah, Beutel executed a pretty good pitch there, keeping it low. It was never belt or even thigh-high to Lofton. It just stuck at his knees the whole time. I think for a moment Jackson might have thought it was going to get to the dirt, but it just never had that much drop-off.
Luis Encarnacion, first pitch swinging, backs up Betancourt on the ground to first, but he recovers nicely, makes the flip to the covering Beutel, and the Kannapolis Cannonballers get out of the inning unscathed. Fayetteville leaves a couple of runners on base, and the deficit remains 2 as we enter the 9th inning from Segra Stadium. Kannapolis 4, Fayetteville 2 on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
At 6 p.m., scan the QR code on the board to get your tickets today. Fans, how well do you know Famous Smiles? Take a look at the video board and make your best guess.
Back on the mound for the Woodpeckers, Trey Dombrowski.
1, 2, 3,
my baby don't mess up.
Leading off the top of the ninth inning for the Cannonballers, the left fielder, number 16, Joanna Beal-Laureano.
Joanna Beal-Laureano bats for the first time since his solo home run against the man on the mound, Trey Dombrowski. We have entered the ninth here at Segra Stadium. 4-2 the lead for Kannapolis. And back on the play-by-play to bring us through the conclusion, the voice of the Woodpeckers, Andrew Chapman.
All right, thanks, Colin. Trey Dombrowski just trying to keep it at a two-run game right now, give his offense one more chance in the bottom of the ninth to come back from what at one point was a 4-1 deficit. He drops a slider in for a strike, and it's 1-1. Fayetteville had a 1-0 lead over the first three innings. 1-1 pitch is waved out for strike two. 60 pitches now for Dombrowski from the pen. And they gave up the one-run lead in the top of the fourth. And then with two outs following an error in the sixth inning, Dombrowski gave up back-to-back home runs. A two-run shot to Betancourt and then a solo home run to this guy, Laureano, that made it 4-1. The 1-2 pitch is down in the dirt. And it's 2-2 now on Laureano. It was his fourth home run of the year of the solo variety to give him 14 RBIs on the season as well. Average creeping towards 200 at 193. Dombrowski's 2-2 home. Strikes him out swinging. Big hack at an inside breaking ball as one hand came flying off of the bat. Laureano strikes out for a second time. There's 13 strikeouts now for Fayetteville pitching. And seven of them from Dombrowski.
And there's a team that's far and away the top in the Carolina League in strikeouts. Myrtle Beach is second. There's still well over 30 strikeouts back of them at this point.
Logan slaps away the first pitch, 0-1. Yeah, the Woodpeckers were the only pitching staff in the entire first half across the league to eclipse the 700 strikeout mark. Here's the kick in the 0-1 home. Logan takes outside. They have a better rate than last year's club that also struck out a lot of hitters. Really on pace to do it this year, close to somewhere between 14 and 1,500 if they keep this up. Here's the 1-1 swing at an inside fastball, and Logan empty. 1-2.
It'll be interesting to see what this staff looks like in a couple of weeks' time. Even with the promotion of Nick Swanson and Nolan DeVos, you still have a lot of capable arms out there for Fayetteville. So whether there's roster turnover or not, you still got to like your chances with those guys going out to the mound.
Logan checks his swing, went too far, and now he's late getting out of the box. Ball got by Gastone. He hustles to the backstop, throws up the first base line, and completes the strikeout. That was a very close check swing. Brandon Schmidt behind the plate making the call, and Drake Logan looked back at the umpire for a while, couldn't believe that he got rung up, and then realized he had to run to try and keep the play alive. But he gets put out on the 2-3. Trey Dombrowski now with 8 strikeouts. And 14 for the Fayetteville staff. It brings up Wilbur Sanchez. Sanchez tried to bunt from the right side and a fastball missed down and in on him. He pulled back in time 1-0. If I told you going into tonight that the Woodpeckers would hold Kannapolis to 6 hits, strikeout 14, I'd say just on its face, got a pretty good chance to win a ball game. But fortunately tonight, two of those 6 hits have provided 3 runs on home runs, and Woodpeckers really were silent offensively from the second inning through the seventh. They left 2 runners on in the eighth inning. That was the first time they had left base runners on since the first. 1-1 home, and a ground ball pulled to third by the dive of Lorenzo and up the left field line. Long run for Garcia as he disappears in the corner, scuffles with a baseball for a moment, gets it onto the infield, and Wilbur Sanchez down to second base with a double. Another 2-out base hit for Kannapolis. Every single one of their hits, other than the leadoff single in the fourth inning, 6 of 7 have now come with 2 outs.
Great to see a team with resilience. If you're, Chicago White Sox fan watching this bunch, they don't put their heads down when they're down and out in an inning, especially against a good pitcher like Dombrowski, to be able to stay in there mentally and put good swings on the ball, a really good sign going forward for a team.
2 doubles and 2 home runs now for the Kannapolis offense. And all of those extra base hits coming with 2 outs.
in the post Elko era, no less.
Right, right. I mean, we were questioning earlier in this broadcast, you know, where would Kannapolis's identity come from now when it comes to the slug, the extra base hits, the home run, slider down and outside, gets by Gaston. And Camiletti telling Sanchez to head down to third. He will. Second wild pitch for Dombrowski. Puts a possible insurance run 90 feet away. And this is the type of response you like if you're Patrick Leland in that dugout. You're seeing a number of guys contribute. Betancourt, Laureano, guys who struggle a little bit at the plate this year but have emerged as the centerpieces tonight without a couple of their stars from the first half of the year. And there's a breaking ball in the zone. Strike one to Camiletti, who's been on 3 of 4 plate appearances. Parra walks, a single, and he flied out to left field his last time up. Dombrowski trying to make it 3 scoreless innings since his 3-run sixth. Bullpen activity out in left. And a fastball just missed outside as Trey skipped off the mound. I believe it's a 1-strike count right now. 2-1. Four runs, 7 hits, no errors for Kannapolis. 2 runs, 4 hits, 2 errors, and it's a 2-2 count make it. So Trey had it right as he skipped forward. Now is 2-2, peels to the outside. A slider missed. Full count on Camiletti, league leader with 53 walks on the season, 51 coming into tonight. Home plate umpire shows the fingers to clarify, 3-2. Lofton playing towards the middle. Here's the payoff, and Camiletti strikes out. His bat made contact with a catcher, and they'll call catcher's interference on this. Camiletti still doesn't realize that he's been granted first base. Or maybe he has. He's just unbuckling the gear to hand it off to the bat boy, but instead of strike three swinging, Gaston's hand got clipped, and Camiletti will be granted first base.
This guy just finds new ways to get on base, really.
Yeah.
Not too often you see catcher's interference, and Matt Gaston just had his glove a little bit too far forward. It's something that you kind of don't think of ever happening when you're watching a baseball game, but you kind of forget how close to the action a catcher is when they're squeezing the ball, and all it takes a couple inches trying to reach out and grab that final strike. And another instance where Trey Dombrowski thought he had an all-important out to get him out of an inning.
Yeah.
Not to be.
Yep. It has been a night filled with tough luck moments for Trey Dombrowski. When you go back to the drop pop fly in the sixth and now a catcher's interference call as he nearly got out of the inning. Spins a first pitch slider to Lanzilli. And now you got to worry about the pitch count as well as the throw back to the mound went wild, but it's a dead ball. 76 pitches now for Trey. They're probably not going to extend him too far beyond 80. And a right-hander in Casey Ford warming out there in the pen in case they need to go to him in the ninth. Trey's trying to get through 5 complete innings. Has to work a little further. And misses low on a change to Lanzilli. It is 1-1. Come the home ninth. One more chance as the Woodpeckers hope it's just a 2-run deficit. It'll be Lorenzo, John Garcia, Leo Stanley Molina, 4, 5, and 6 against the Kannapolis bullpen. 1-1. Dombrowski sets, looks down to first where Camiletti leads. His pitch inside, and it drills Lanzilli on the outside of the left knee. Lanzilli is hobbled as he tries to shake it off, hopping up and down, and he will limp his way up the first base line, and that's it for Dombrowski. Ricky Rivera working his way out of the dugout, and he will go to Casey Ford, the right-hander from the pen. As Dombrowski plunks Lanzilli after the catcher's interference call extended the inning. And instead of walking back to the dugout with 5 complete, he'll walk back with 4 2/3 and a bases-loaded situation. As mentioned, it's kind of a tough luck night today for Trey. That's the theme of his performance out of the bullpen. And Casey Ford will try and keep it at a 2-run game when we come back to the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network. Stay tuned.
Don't call me up, I'm going out tonight. Feeling good now you're out of my life. Don't wanna talk about us, gotta leave it behind. One drink and you're out of my mind.
Fans, this Woodpeckers pitching change is brought to you by Black's Tire and Auto Service.
Entering the game for the Woodpeckers, number 55, Casey Ford.
She's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive.
With the bases loaded and two outs, coming to the plate for the Cannonballers, the third baseman, number 27, Bryce Williams.
Casey Ford asked to come in late tonight to get the final out of the ninth inning. He inherits the bases loaded, and Bryce Willett's the left-handed batter at the plate. First pitch from Casey Ford is up and outside. When it's time for a change, make sure you go to Black's Tire and Auto Service. Fourth pitcher tonight for the Woodpeckers, third reliever, Arias Perez, Dombrowski, and now Ford. 4-2, Kannapolis lead, trying to break it open. Here's the 1-0. Willett takes it outside, 2-0. Anything that scores in this inning, just like the sixth, would end up being unearned on Dombrowski after a catcher's interference call on what was almost a third strike to end the inning. Extended things, allowed Mario Camilletti to reach, then Lanzilli was hit by the pitch. Sanchez on his double, stands down at third. Ford at the chest, kicks and throws the 2-0. Willits takes it outside again. Three balls and no strikes. So that's the good news for Trey. The ERA is not going anywhere. He'll close his night with a 3.06 ERA. Not a bad number. Casey Ford with a 1.69 coming into the season. Coming into this game, should say. 3-0. And a fastball placed for a strike. Gets to 3-1. Casey Ford, other numbers. He has no record. Pitching in his eighth game out of the bullpen. That's the same number of games he pitched for the Tourists to begin the season in April and May. He's the saves leader with three, but just trying to keep it at two runs right now. 4-2 Kannapolis. The set by Ford, his kick and 3-1 pitch is just off the low outside corner. And a bases loaded walk brings home a run. Wilbur Sanchez comes home. Kannapolis gets the run back that they gave up in the Fayetteville sixth. And back up to their game high lead of three. It is 5-2.
That's just kind of been the theme of the night tonight for Fayetteville. A couple of plays that have led to several runs for the Cannonballers. I mean, you still have to tip your cap to the Cannonballers. They're two-out hitting. I mean, all of this that's been going on has been with two outs.
Yep. Every single run that is scored. All five. And first pitch buzzes Smelly up and in towards the chest as he has to spin away, and it's 0-1. In Asheville tonight, the Tourists trail the Greenville Drive, Boston Red Sox affiliate, 11-6. That's out in McCormick Field. Six runs on 10 base hits for the Tourists, 11 runs on 11 hits for Greenville. Starting pitcher tonight was former Woodpecker Michael Knorr, who went three innings, gave up two earned runs, a walk, and four strikeouts. Smelly backs away from another inside pitch, and it's 2-0 on the Kannapolis catcher. Bases still loaded. One run in on Bryce Willits. Second walk of the game. Camilletti at third, Lanzilli at second, Willits at first. One unearned run in on Dombrowski. And here's the 2-0. Smelly gets hit in on the hand. Fastball got him flush, and it made its way through to get Gastone. Clipped everybody on the way by. And both athletic trainers are going to meet at home plate and check up on their respective players. Freak pitch as it came in and got a little bit of everybody. It's going to bring home another run, turn this to a 6-2 game. And Smelly looks like he'll be okay. That's a mid-90s fastball running in near knuckles. Dangerous pitch. And Gastone's all right as well.
And yet another unforced error by the Woodpeckers that culminates in Kannapolis runs, whether it be errors, the catcher's interference, or hit batters. You know, no matter any way you cut it, this is going to be a game, if the score holds, where Fayetteville will look back and just think about what could have happened if a couple of things just went differently, if we didn't, you know, beat ourselves up a little bit early on.
Zach Wilkins out to the mound. You do wonder if Ford felt rushed at all coming out of the bullpen.
Absolutely.
He was at a stage where I don't know if he was warming up. He got a few pitches going out there in the pen, and then, of course, his pitches out on the mound. But it was in a spot where inning was about to be over, and then catcher's interference extended things. Ford really had to ramp up thereafter, and due to Dombrowski's pitch count and the hit-by-pitch that came right thereafter, Ford was pretty much in the game on a moment's notice. And might not have been able to go through the full process that you normally would when you were scheduled, and it's led to a little bit of erraticness. A walk and a hit-by-pitch. Ryan McCarthy is now the left-hander stepping in. Bases remain loaded, two runs home. Here's the pitch, and he reluctantly swings at a mid-90s fastball, and it's strike, 0-1. Back to Asheville, where Jacob Melton hit his 12th home run of the season in high A tonight. Tommy Sacco, another former Woodpecker, hit his 7th. Ryan Wroblewski with his 13th double. 13th double for Colin Price as well. So a number of former Woodpeckers getting involved in an offense that trails tonight 11-6. Fastball off the plate, low and outside.
It's a 4-2022 draft guys right there, too. So already starting to perform beyond Fayetteville. Great to see.
Franny Cobos looking really good. The Cuban tonight, 3 2/3 scoreless innings. Brian DePaula was pummeled, though, for 7 runs, 4 earned due to some errors behind him over just a third of an inning. 1-1 pitch and a swing and a miss on a high fastball, but Ford balked. Didn't come set, and a third run comes home. Lanzilli trots in. All three of the inherited runners against Trey Dombrowski have scored, so it'll be 6 runs, all unearned tonight on Trey Dombrowski. And it is now a 7-2 ball game.
I have to see if that might be a franchise record. Yeah, most unearned runs allowed.
I know. I can tell you right now it's season high. We haven't seen Woodpeckers pitcher give up that many unearned in a game. Here's a tapper. Front of the mound, Casey Ford forward. He picks it. Underhands to first. And the inning is over. So Ford called into duty on a moment's notice. Bases loaded, walk, hit by pitch, and a balk have brought home 3 more Kannapolis runs, and the Woodpeckers down big 7-2 as we go to the bottom of the 9th inning.
Cannonballers pitching change is brought to you by the North Carolina Education Lottery. Entering the game for the Cannonballers, number 13, Billy Seidel. Leading off the bottom of the 9th inning for the Woodpeckers, the third baseman, number 16, Dory Lorenzo.
The
Bottom of the ninth inning, and the Woodpeckers now down by a game-high 5 runs. 7-2 the score, and Dari Lorenzo leads off the inning with a number. Shallow to third, charging in on the grass, picked by Willits, and a throw on the run to get the out. Nice defensive play by the Kannapolis third baseman to pick up a quick out for new Kannapolis right-hander Billy Seidel. He's their saves leader, Carolina League saves leader, 9 saves and 11 opportunities. He was warming out there in the bullpen trying for what would have been a 10th save, but as 3 runs come home, no longer a save opportunity for him. But since he was warmed up, Patrick Leland and company will still roll with him the rest of the way tonight. John Garcia turns away from the first pitch. It is up and in. Seidel is 3-1 with a 4.88 ERA. 24 games is also a Carolina League high. They utilize him a lot. As he goes down to the belt and pitches and beans Garcia right in the middle of the back. Slider slipped, and Billy Seidel will work with a man on first. John Garcia aboard for a second time with a bruise right in the middle of the shoulders. So Garcia heading down. Billy Seidel might be a name familiar to some around the area. 23-year-old went to Duke, former college teammate of Fayetteville's Joey Loperfido, part of that group that won the ACC back in 2022. He's a 15th round draft pick by the White Sox last year and grew up in Needham, Massachusetts. Is that how you say it, Colin?
Yep, Needham.
Needham, Massachusetts.
Just outside of Boston.
Fayetteville, my Massachusetts native here in the booth, just to confirm. 1 ball and no strikes on Molina. And a swing and a broken bat roller to short. Sanchez underhands to second. The turn to first is in time. And Molina kind of slowed into second base. And that ends the game. Double play closes it down. And Kannapolis ends up winning by 5 tonight after a 3-run top of the ninth inning. Ball game and the postgame show coming up next. Kannapolis takes game 1 here in downtown Fayetteville. We're back in a moment on the Woodpeckers Broadcast Network.
La la la, oh well, la la la. We're going at it tonight, tonight. There's a party on the rooftop, top of the world. Tonight, tonight. And we're dancing on the edge of the Hollywood sign. I don't know if I'll make it, but watch how good I'll fake it. It's alright, alright. Tonight, tonight. I woke up from a crazy dream. I was flying to the moon in a super bottle rocket, and the pilot looked just like me. Mixed with Zach Galifianakis. La la la, whatever. La la la, it doesn't matter. La la la, oh well. La la la, we're going at it tonight, tonight. There's a party on the rooftop, top of the world. Tonight, tonight. And we're dancing on the edge of the Hollywood sign. I don't know if I'll make it, but watch how good I'll fake it. It's alright, alright. Tonight, tonight. You got me singing like, whoa, come on. Oh, it doesn't matter. Whoa, everybody now. Oh, just don't stop. Let's keep the beat pumping. Keep the beat up. Let's drop the beat down. It's my party. Dance if I want to. We can get crazy. Let it all out. Just don't stop. Let's keep the beat pumping. Keep the beat up. Drop the beat down. It's my party. Dance if I want to. We can get crazy. Let it all out. It's you and me, and we're running this town. And it's me and you, and we're shaking the ground. And ain't nobody gonna tell us to go, 'cause this is our show. Everybody.
It's time to close the night with the Woodpeckers postgame show. Here's Andrew Chapman and Colin Casey.
Hey, Woodpeckers fans, welcome back up to the broadcast booth, and thanks again for being with us tonight on our Wednesday night series opener between the Woodpeckers and the Cannonballers. Andrew Chapman, Colin Casey wrapping up this ball game and breaking it down. Colin, you know, tonight was, let's call it a tough luck night for Trey Dombrowski. He ultimately gives up 6 runs, but not a single one of them are earned. That's a season high in unearned runs, 6 of the 7 that crossed tonight for the Cannonballers. Unearned just because of some untimely plays, a drop pop fly on the infield and then a catcher's interference there that extended the ninth inning. Casey Ford kind of rushing to get into the game there last minute, and a few runs come home. But again, all unearned. And Fayetteville, they score early. That's something they were able to do a lot in Charleston. Kind of struggled to hold some leads at times, but you try and flush this one, I guess, and try and put it aside. Kind of an outlier, weird game that isn't the Woodpeckers' normal brand of baseball, and you have to try and get back to trying to score early tomorrow night and trying to even this series.
Yeah, got to be a frustrating night if you're in that Woodpeckers' dugout. But tip your cap to the Cannonballers, all the two-out hitting that they did in this ball game. You had the back-to-back home runs from Betancourt and Laureano against Dombrowski. They took advantage of an error that extended that inning. So you got to tip your cap to your opponent in instances where you have a game where you have those mistakes, because they got to capitalize to make you pay for it. And they certainly did that in this ball game. Padded that lead, got out of reach there in the ninth inning. So ultimately, you know, it was Kannapolis that had the great pitching performance as well on the other side with Shane Murphy going five innings. He shook off a rough start to that ball game, giving up the opening run, set down 13 Woodpeckers in a row following that. So the resiliency was shown on the Kannapolis side as well. It's a good ball team that was played above 500 in the first half, and they've shown even with all the promotions they've had the last couple of games, they still have a lot of talent. They came through with seven runs, taking advantage of a couple of mistakes made by the Woodpeckers. But you got to be a good team to be able to take advantage of those mistakes, and that's what the Cannonballers have done so far in the season series as well. They've won 9 of 13 against the Woodpeckers in the season series. So if you're Fayetteville, you just have to, like you said, turn the page and try to pull back even in this week's series tomorrow night.
Trey Dombrowski is always going to strike him out, too, when he goes out there to the mound. He's going to be probably right again at the top of the Carolina League in total strikeouts. 8 more for him today. 14 strikeouts for the Fayetteville pitching staff as they racked up a lot of swing and miss tonight. But tomorrow we'll try and do the same, prevent some of the runs, and try and play it a little closer in game two of the series as they try and even things up with another Rule 5 draft guy that the Astros got last winter. You saw one tonight, Manuel Urias. Tomorrow it'll be left-hander Luis Angel Rodriguez, 1-0 with an impressive 2.03 ERA, another high strikeout, high swing and miss type guy that has had some success in the Carolina League pitching for the Pelicans last year of Myrtle Beach and now the Woodpeckers and the Astros system this year. He's on the hill tomorrow. Right-hander Drew McDaniel for the Cannonballers, 2-5 with a 5.06 ERA. Thirsty Thursday and Marvel Night out at the ballpark. So if you're into superheroes and you're into cheap drinks, tomorrow night, Segra Stadium is your place to be. Fun being with you tonight, everybody. Thanks again for coming out to the start of this series, and hope to see you tomorrow night. Please do drive home safely. Final score tonight, Cannonballers 7 and the Woodpeckers 2. We'll talk to you tomorrow from the booth. Good night. It's the thought of being young when your heart stares like a drum beating loud.